much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Great.
In 2 more years, February the 9th, you won't be able to marry your partner that you play football with no more. You're going to be able to marry your dog. You're going to be able to marry your cat. You're going to be able to marry your snake. You're going to be able to marry your rat, your roaches. Some of y'all been with the roaches so long, you might well go and marry the roaches. You've been around your house so long, you're going to be able to marry your broom, your mop. Ain't we going crazy in this world, y'all? Ain't we going crazy?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This content is currently unavailable.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I find that offensive.
Roll another one.
I'll probably have his picture there with something.
Just like the other one.
Where's my getting money?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Why do you offensive one?
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Excuse me. Who even are you?
Roll.
It's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
Just like the other.
Sounds stupid.
This one seems to be about
sense. I don't know who you are.
I don't have another sense.
Well, that's a really hard question because,
I don't want that joint.
Why not me? This is America.
Let's pass it around.
Review your booty.
And now.
Look, I haven't had a drink since New Year's Eve.
You're talking Chinese New Year's.
Naturally. Still, that's 2 days. You know how long that is for me?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday morning, the 27th of February.
What's going on, you guys?
You know, just living large, living the dream.
Right? Like right. We do.
Gorilla pimping, you know.
I, as you know, am no fan of the car chases.
I know. Man, you're wrong.
I'm not wrong at all. The car chases are a tremendous waste of time and resources. But the llama chase is even worse. What's happening?
It's so much better.
The llama chase was in this country.
Awesome.
What's happening in this country where multiple networks are devoting all of their news gathering resources to watching animals run? What's happening in the world?
Llamas are amazing.
Llamas are, look. I love llamas. The problem isn't that I don't love llamas. I'm the only one of us that owned a llama, all right? My dear beloved Sparky. Look, I love llamas.
Then you
I
ate
love,
him. So that's
I love
not,
spending time.
So I don't know.
I didn't eat it out.
Oh.
I loved Sparky, and I love llamas, and you know me and animals.
Right.
But why are we spending 20 minutes as a nation watching animals run? What's happening right now?
Because it's awesome.
Why is it awesome? Help me understand why it's awesome. Isn't there some danger that you're going to watch an animal get hit by a car and killed on television live?
Yeah.
Then don't show it. Then don't take that risk. Don't put that on TV.
Did that happen?
Thank God it didn't.
Oh, how about that?
It didn't happen.
Tell me why. Pure entertainment.
Why is it awesome?
Why is it awesome?
Yes.
I think for the same reason car chases are awesome, which is the same thing that sports has. Whatever is going to happen next, you cannot possibly predict.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much stuff that's scripted and everything else in this world. When you watch something like that, you go, truly anything can happen.
Well, when I heard it was on, I thought, oh, we figured out ISIS. We solved ISIS. ISIS is done. We don't have to worry about ISIS anymore because clearly they've got the time for the llamas on the TV. Look, why not tape it and 30 seconds of highlights on the news?
Because everybody watched it.
Yeah.
That's why.
That's the thing. Everybody tunes in.
And
Allie, why is it awesome?
Here's why. Because like Kevin said, unpredictability. And I think this time you were rooting for the llama. For the first time ever, you're like, I hope that llama gets the heck out of there. I don't know where he's going to go.
Yeah, where's he going to go?
Like, Not sure.
To do what? Never get captured? Be on the run forever?
Maybe.
And then we just have a 24-hour llama channel where we just watch him the rest of his life?
Like looking for a plane.
I'm good with that.
Thelma with two L's and Louise with two L's, by the way, is what they named him. But by the way, the puns were flying fast and furious yesterday, Kevin. Now, how do you support that?
Not a fan of that.
You hate the puns.
I hate the puns, but I sure did love that. That was awesome.
I was in the car at the time, so I didn't watch any of it. Not that I would have. I wouldn't have turned my TV on if I thought it might be on. But here's a little bit of Shep Smith on the Fox News employing the resources of America's newsroom for the llama chase.
Continuing with the Great Llama Watch 2015 here on Fox News Channel, you see Black Llama and White Llama, since we took a break, have now separated. Moments ago, they had this Black Llama pinned against a fence.
By the way, why the llama got to be black? And please note that the Black Llama got captured first and is probably going to get a much stiffer sentence than the White Llama for the same crime.
Despicable.
I'm not positive that that's accurate.
And some lady was flapping her arms like she was going to take off and fly. It's the one with the visor there. I don't know what her function is, but she looked to be having a marvelous time. And now that Black Llama and White Llama are separated, Black Llama seems to have calmed down a bit. And all the people there in Sun City are working to go out and capture the llama. Now, we're watching this through the facilities of KSAZ. It's a Fox 10 Arizona morning. I guess it's actually Fox 10 noon now. But another one of our stations also has a chopper up. So we're double choppering.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. They got double chopper coverage on the freaking llamas. Is Shepard Smith having the time of his life? Is this so fun for him, or is he going to go home and put a gun in his mouth because this is what he now has to do for a living?
I don't know. It's hard to tell. With each person, it seems like it's different.
I would think he'd love it.
You do?
Really?
Yeah.
He sure sounds like he's having a jolly old time, doesn't he?
I think it's not the same old thing, so that's probably good for
the two llamas for the day. We've learned some llama facts.
Oh, good.
Some llama facts.
Good.
Llamas, it's being brought to me now, hot off the presses. Thank you, intern. It was my boss, actually. It's a South American relative of the camel. Uh-oh, doesn't want to be caught. Does not want to be caught. Faster than humans, as you can see. Fox News can confirm. Black llamas.
If I came in and started giving you llama facts, by the way, there wouldn't be enough FU in the world from you to me.
Right.
Yet you're delighted to have Shep Smith on giving you llama facts.
Because you would be giving us unsolicited llama facts. In that particular case, we were watching llamas.
How long did this nonsense go on for?
I'm not
How
positive.
How long was the llama chase?
I'm not positive.
I'm not sure of the exact time, but it was
20 minutes?
For
half hour?
All day.
Yeah, it was for a long time.
Yeah.
They're the ones that spit, right?
Yes.
That's what I was hoping for.
I have a history with llamas as well.
You do have a history with most animals.
Oh, what happened?
I've just done a lot of segments with a place that's now gone, but it was called Shangri-Llama. In Yorba Linda, where you can actually go and walk the llamas, take them on walks, pack a lunch, which essentially was quite a racket. It was basically you go and pay to exercise their llamas. Brilliant.
Were you dressed as a llama? Was that part of the confusion of the animal?
The second time I was there, they had me dress as a llama to infiltrate the llama pack.
You have to gain their trust.
You have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. They like to smell your breath to make sure that you're okay. Which I found.
Allie has her own llama facts.
I do.
This is great.
I do. Kevin just flipped me off.
So that's how they decide if they want to trust you or not?
No, it's just kind of a welcome, like a dog.
Like dogs sniff your butt,
I was
right.
just going to say, dogs will sniff your butt, but a llama wants to smell your breath.
So did he spit at you?
No, they only spit when they're really freaked out.
Yeah.
And you'll know because they tense up and then their head kind of goes back. And
That is a foul, foul smell, by the way.
The spit?
The spit of a llama. That's rough, man.
Or my breath.
Can't say I've ever had it.
You don't want that on you.
Never smelled it.
I have.
Tell me more about that.
I have. Well, I had a llama and Sparky, you know, so.
Why was Sparky so scared or upset?
You know, sometimes they just get cranky. It just
Set them loose and see what happens.
You'd be llamas, happy. Llamas have lots of different personalities. Some llamas almost never spit. Some llamas are spit machines, but I can't believe we're talking about llamas.
I couldn't have been happier yesterday.
I'm glad it's over.
That was so great. You're missing out, man. You're missing out. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Spank me, baby.
That's troubling. Maren Dungy is going to be on the program today talking Once Upon a Time.
Yes, love her.
Excited about that.
She's Terry. She's Terry's wife on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Know her from Alias. Been on all sorts of good stuff. Great actress. Seems like a super nice lady. Looking forward to meeting her.
Jack McBrayer is going to be in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Triumph the Insult Dog and Jack McBrayer. It's a new TV show. We have Will Forte talking Last Man on Earth. We have a little...
Spoiler alert, by the way. Not the Last Man on Earth.
That's poorly named, then.
Yes.
It should be named, I think maybe I'm the Last Man on Earth.
Right.
But I could be wrong.
Last Man on Earth at the start of the first episode is what it should be called.
We also have the Movie Beat because it's Friday. And a little fellow by the name of Robert Kirkman, who has created a bit of a world called The Walking Dead. Very excited about that. That's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat Deck. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday morning. What's going on, Mr. Garman?
If you'll allow me a moment to call back to the opening of this very program.
Yes, please.
When Bean was complaining about people who would watch a television program featuring Llamas on the Run.
That's a good point.
What a waste of time, he would say to those people for what they're doing.
Yeah.
This is from a guy, by the way, you want to talk about the cams that he's told us he's watched? how about the panda cam, which is just a panda laying in a cage in some hay that you've watched for hours.
Almost sleeping for the entire time.
Totally different.
Yeah, less exciting.
Right, less going on.
No. Totally different in
more
that
of a waste
it, is,
of time.
It is not hijacking the resources of a news organization. Look, if there's a camera on every animal on Earth, I'm fine with that because people can tune in or out as they want, but it doesn't stop the rest of the world from turning like the llama chase did.
But
yesterday.
How can you condemn people who are intrigued and want to watch that on television when you are intrigued by sleeping animals and want to watch that on a television screen?
Asked and answered. Because it doesn't stop the rest of the news that's actually important from being broadcast.
But you
that's
know why
the
news is doing it? Because people want to see it. Yeah. Like you want to see a sleeping panda.
Yeah,
there's I reject too much
that totally.
Going on.
I reject it totally.
No, it's absolutely applicable. You can't reject it.
Well, I think you're wrong. I think your conclusion is false.
Give me a long life for you, my friend.
Yeah, really.
Got no time for llamas on the run. Got no time for it. Thelma with two L's and Louise with two L's. Got no time for it.
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
It
was
awesome. How long was it on, Ralph? The kids didn't know.
I don't know. I just tuned in and out periodically. I wasn't fixed. I wasn't on the edge of my seat. I was like, hey, look, there's no running ahead. That's awesome. Meanwhile, back at the Hall of Justice. And then I would, you know, go back to my life. But I don't know exactly how long the entire program was.
You know that there are other sources to get your news other than the networks.
No.
Right?
Well, of course there are.
Yeah. So you didn't really miss out on anything.
So,
they didn't find the plane. They didn't,
didn't
find the plane
anyway.
While they were looking at the llamas. It's okay.
I didn't see it anyway, but like I said, I was on the road at the time, so I didn't watch it.
Well, you're unlucky.
For those who don't know, Bean is also a long-haul trucker when he's not on the radio.
It's true.
George Clooney continues to be just better than everyone.
I think we pretty much accepted that. He wins,
but you know, now that he's a married man, people said, oh, maybe he's just going to kick back and just enjoy his newlywed existence. But no, he's still working, fighting the good fight. He did a pretty amazing op-ed piece for the New York Times about the nonprofit Enough Project, which is all about the dire situation going on in Africa and Darfur, a big cause of his. And the column talks about the mass atrocities that continue to occur in Darfur, especially for the women in refugee camps who are subject to torture, rapes, and there's Sudan bombing, bombs in hospitals and agricultural fields. Fascinating piece. It's a little dense, but it's amazing that this guy is an actor and just a movie star, and he's got this kind of passion for this kind of thing. So it's very cool.
Got to keep up with his wife.
Yeah, she's pretty amazing.
Yes.
So I guess the pressure is on him to step it up.
Yeah, he can't just play cards with Matt Damon all night when she's out saving the world.
Yeah. He probably sits down. She's like, hey, the world is not fixed yet. Get up. I think the exact opposite of the Clooney's is the Kardashians.
Yeah.
And they have just announced that they are building a giant jungle gym with lots of monkey bars and rides and slides and spinning and things for their child Northwest at their new mansion.
Oh, when you said monkey bars, I just assumed they were for Chloe.
See? Aww. Speaking of Chloe, by the way, see her tweet?
No.
Where she took a picture of her ass?
I did not.
At Starbucks and posted it because it's just so perfect. She put it in the
really?
Caption.
Well, okay. Good for her for that confidence. All right.
Is there a perfect ass? Have scientists been able to work it down to a formula?
I was just wondering, what percentage of women think their ass is perfect? It's got to be
not many,
minuscule,
yeah,
right?
Super low.
Yet yeah. She's one of them.
Good for her.
Really?
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Isn't she deluded though?
That's
well, sure.
Okay.
Even if you think it, do you do that in your Instagram?
I wouldn't.
Yeah, that is odd. But even if you really
have, if I look at my ass and go, "That is perfect," and trust me, I have. I don't go out and say it in public. I don't say it because I, you know why? Because I live in the world, and I say, right. If I say, "Oh, my ass is so perfect," some people are going to say. That is really sort of a reprehensibly arrogant thing for you to say. So I say, you know, I'll hold back on that. That'll be
my secret. Let other people tell you your ass is perfect, right, Ralph?
Yeah.
I don't think she truly believes her butt is perfect. I think she knows that people make fun of her and she's the bigger one and all that. Granted, she has definitely changed things, but I think she might be letting other women know, hey, my butt is perfect for
me. Oh, yeah. She's doing it to make other women feel good, not to make herself feel good.
And the Kardashians do live on social media. So.
I am letting Khloe be the savior of butts right now.
Wow, you're really giving her the benefit of the doubt here.
She is Saint Butt.
But I have to say, she definitely has a thicker skin than, just look at her, than most people would, because most people would realize they are setting themselves up for people to now mock her.
Yeah, you're asking for it, right?
Right.
Meanwhile, Kim, her sister, also celebrated online this week by posting a photo of herself in a thong showing her ass to celebrate her 27 millionth Twitter follower.
I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, you heard
me. Did you say
27 millionth Twitter follower. So, look, we're wrong and they're right because, look.
It's working.
That's science. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays.
It's science.
Donald Logue.
Love.
Love.
Him.
Love. Him.
From TV's Gotham.
Gotham.
He is Harvey Bullock on TV's Gotham. He has been so good for so long and so many things. Always a pleasure to watch him work. 49 years old today. Chili of TLC is 44 years old.
You see what they're up to lately, Ralph?
No. What's up with Rosanda Chili Thomas and her friend?
They kickstarted a new album. And they got over $500,000 for it. And they say it's going to be their final one. And they're going to put it out. They release new music for the first time in many, many, many years. But they went to the fans for it, crowdsourced it, and it worked. A lot of people out there apparently want new TLC music.
Is there still a T and L and a C?
No,
L is gone.
It's just TC?
It's just TC.
Just TC, right. But I think they're
are people demanding a new TC album?
Well,
they got the funding in, I think, hours.
Really?
Yes. It's incredible. Incredible how many people were into this band getting back together.
Well, there you go.
They put a clip up online if you guys want to hear what it sounds like.
Oh, you're kidding. You have
love
TLC?
To, Kevin. Yeah.
Stepping outside of that limo, my nerves are such a mess. But hopefully all you noticed was my knockout dress. I dropped that bomb and I love making you laugh. I've been working so hard. Yeah, time and a half.
Oh, you still got it?
Playing down low rapid.
This is C.
My heart is beating fast. I hope I don't fall out so I can make love last.
I'm going to donate.
I like it. It's hot. It's hot. I like it. It's hot. I'm going to buy it. It's a hit. Josh Groban's 34 years old today, and actress Katie Mara celebrates her 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Nobody plays the drums on a counter better than Ralph.
I'm thinking of just taking this piece of formica and going on the road with it, because I do get an impressive number of sounds out of this one little countertop.
Well
right
played.
There. Thank you so much.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday morning.
Got two guests next hour who are both involved in TV shows in a post-apocalyptic world. Boy, that's a tough word to say this time of day, isn't it? Will Forte from Last Man on Earth and Robert Kirkman from The Walking Dead. Both of them between 7 and 8 this morning on KROQ. First, though, it is Friday. That means Rob is here. Time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
So it was an interesting lull after the Oscars where you get sort of an interesting spot where a lot of the movie studios start to release their films that they're unsure of.
Okay.
Some smaller films that they maybe because of the budgets don't warrant a big publicity push. But it's always a fascinating time because this is when really weird, sort of interesting smaller films get a chance to shine because everybody's taking a breather after the Oscars. Such is the case this weekend. There's a movie called 71, which is getting rave reviews. It is a war drama about a British soldier who gets separated from his unit during a riot in Belfast, Ireland in the 1970s at the height of the battle between the Irish and the English over Northern Ireland. It is, by all accounts, a gripping, intelligent, and intense film about this conflict. Jack O'Connell, Sam Reed, and Sean Harris star. You don't know these guys, but they're very talented actors. Here is some clips from the trailer from the film 71.
Catholics and Protestants living side by side at each other's throats, divided by the Divis flats. But do not enter the flats. They've become very dangerous.
Soldier went missing.
And we're going to kill him.
Is he dead?
We do not know.
I've got to get back to the barracks.
You lost?
Where's the soldier?
It's going to be Brits crawling all over here, kicking doors in.
What are we going to do?
I don't want you worried about me, okay? I'll be fine.
I don't think he's going to be fine. It's just a guess. I haven't seen the film, but I'm guessing he's not going to be fine.
When are they going to release the English version of that? Because I don't like to read subtitles.
You,
I'm not a fan of subtitles.
Sounded like my family talking.
There'll be Brits crawling all over here. By the way, people are starving in Africa. Every time I hear that accent, I just think about starving people in Africa. Everly is another film in limited release this weekend. Salma Hayek stars in a female action movie. You don't get to see a lot of female action films these days.
Right.
Once in a while, you see a Scarlett Johansson kicking some ass. But it's good to see Salma Hayek just taking people down. She plays a woman who is facing down assassins that are sent by her ex, who's a mob boss, while she is holed up in her apartment. Intense thriller, lots of action in this film. Everly is the name. Here are some scenes from the trailer.
You betrayed me. My men are already there. You will die in that room tonight, Everly.
There's no way out. What are you going to do?
I know I'm gonna die tonight.
You know guns.
Dad wanted a boy.
All right.
I am also looking forward to the English version of that film as well.
Seeing that.
Maps to the Stars, rather, in limited release, comes out this weekend. Director David Cronenberg is behind this film, and he's always just twisted and weird and scary. This looks to be no exception. Julianne Moore, Robert Pattinson, and John Cusack star. It's a star-studded film about a tour into the heart of a Hollywood family, chasing celebrity and dealing with one another as well. Here, Julianne Moore yells at her assistant. Reminds me of Kevin yelling at the intern.
How dare you?
You bled! Don't you use Ampex? Are you psychotic?
I'm sorry.
I don't believe this. My crazy assistant just bled on my $12,000 couch.
I'm sorry, I'll pay for it.
Go to the kitchen and get Perrier and bleach and Google the best way to get rid of a stain. Do you think that Carrie Fisher, do you think Nicole Kidman and Halle Berry have scary little animals working for them?
Dude.
She sounds delightful.
Sounds like someone put a mic in the Kardashian household. Kris Jenner?
That actress is not going to go anywhere. She's not likable.
Julianne Moore?
David Cronenberg, he's one of those prestige directors that almost anyone would sign on, no matter the script, just to work with that dude, right?
Yeah, he's kind of a genius. And he's always making challenging, interesting films. So a lot of people want to work with him. The Lazarus Effect opens up in wide release this weekend. This looks really cool. It's about bringing dead people back to life. Sounds like a good thing, right?
Just that?
Yeah, that's all.
All right.
What happens when they go bad? Hasn't anyone learned from The Walking Dead that you don't want dead people up and moving around?
That's true.
Let's leave the dead people. Can we all agree to that? As an aside, you ever the guy who wants to do head transplants? Have you heard about this guy?
No. Entire head?
Yeah, he's talking about doing head transplants.
What?
Nothing good can come from that, by the way.
I'd like a new head.
course you would.
But who would take your body? That's the only question.
What helped me?
So Olivia Wilde stars, along with Mark Duplass, Evan Peters, Sarah Bolger, great cast. A group of medical students discover a way to bring dead patients back to life. I say nay. I vote nay,
Even if it's Olivia Wilde.
Even if it's Olivia Wilde, because she's pretty, alive, dead, and then alive again. She's just scary. Here's a scene where Olivia Wilde comes back to life, and Mark Duplass is trying to talk to her.
Hey, sweetheart, it's me. All right, she's in shock. I need a blanket, please.
Yeah.
Hey. Baby, it's me. You're okay.
Frank.
Give me the blanket. Hurry up.
I can't find it.
It's right over there. It's in the top.
Did I just die?
Ah!
Yeah!
You are all going to die tonight.
Yes, because she starts to go bad, like dead things do. You got to put her in the fridge. Check her expiration date. What's that smell? I think it's Olivia Wilde. Taste this. Does this taste funny to you? Somebody says at one point in the movie. Just licking Olivia. And lastly, Focus, the movie I'm most excited about this weekend. Focus, starring Will Smith and Margot Robbie. Boy, it's a good-looking couple up on that screen, the two of them, isn't it? He plays a veteran con man who's working a scheme. Margot Robbie is Nikki, a woman from his past. She used to be sort of a scrounger, pickpocket, you know, low-rent con artist. He took her under his wing, made her an expert. They separated ways, and now he is back. She is back in his life to complicate things. Here's a scene from Focus where Margot Robbie is talking to Will Smith about joining forces.
I want in.
I'm all crewed up, sweetie.
Oh, come on. Please, can we skip the part where I speak through thinly veiled allure and lead you to believe there's some earth-shattering hump in the works?
I don't even get thinly veiled allure.
No.
No baby voice. No lingering eye contact.
I am hopeless.
And I suggest that you learn. Professionally.
Well, I mean, you could show me. In your room.
That is so bad.
Is it?
Does it feel sexy on your face?
A little.
Does it feel sexy on your face?
I'd totally buy that, by the way. She's got me. I'm not Will Smith. I'm like, yeah. You better get better at that. I'm like, yes, okay, yes,
okay,
let's go to my room.
My room,
let's
right
go
now.
My room, 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 room.
Yes, please.
Focus. Focus? He doesn't even know us.
That didn't work.
No, it's not even a little bit.
File.
That's my pick for the weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
I love the Weezer so much. Love the Weezer.
Love the Weezer? Hey, man, you like the Weezer?
Hey, guys, we've been on for an hour already.
Yeah.
I haven't fainted one time yet.
Yes!
Come on, standing-o! Don't stand, though. Don't stand-o. Sitting-o. Well, you can't really sit either.
At the look, I've had problems my whole life with super low blood pressure and low blood sugar.
Yeah, because you're the healthiest man in the world.
I am the healthiest man in the world. And you guys remember that I fainted getting out of bed a couple of Christmases ago.
Sure.
And broke three ribs. So I do have a problem with falling down. But yesterday was a first, even for me. And I think, Ralph, you were the one to point it out on the air that nobody faints sitting down.
No. No, no one.
That's a weird thing.
If you feel faint, they say, well, sit down, because that will help you.
Right.
Now you're sitting down, you don't faint.
I was already sitting down when I fainted. I think we have the tape from right at the end of yesterday's Kevin and Bean show.
Michael Bolton, 62.
Oh, ow.
Ow. You all right?
I am.
What happened?
What just happened?
I'm
fine. Who's 62?
What? You can't do that. You can't just say, just have that happen and they go, oh, never mind.
I fell over. I just fell over.
What do you mean you fell over?
I don't know.
What's going on, Brian Wilson?
I'm hungry. I haven't eaten. I just fell over.
You work out of your house.
I know.
You eat whatever you want that's in your fridge.
But I still work in this body, though. We've been busy today. We have a busy, active show today. I haven't had a chance to eat.
But you're not, like, walking downstairs. You're just standing there.
He's sitting.
I've got super low blood sugar, and if I go too long without eating, I fall, and I literally just fell forward into the microphone. I'm sorry.
That's the best thing
you're not that funny, Allie.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
Why are the wheels coming off?
I faint a lot, you guys.
What?
Well, that's
not sitting down. No one faints sitting down.
That's a good point. I mean, seriously.
Crane sitting down.
Sitting down.
It was a surprise. My face just fell forward into the microphone and then continued down onto the control board. But, I mean, it was only for a split second, though, and then I popped back to life when when my face hit the thing there.
You're a regular Weeble.
You popped back to life. You think you died, maybe?
No. I'm just saying I was only out for a second. It's
Did
not
you
like
see
I was
a white light?
Cold for 20 minutes or something like that or anything. But, yeah, it was a little bit of a surprise, I got
to
be honest.
Wait, okay, so let me just back up. Is this a thing that happens to you a lot? I know you have low blood pressure, but... Mm-hmm. Sitting down?
No, this is the first time that I know of that it's ever happened to me.
How many times have you fainted in the last, I don't know, couple of weeks?
That was the first time in a couple of weeks.
Right. Oh, a couple of weeks.
Well, yeah, but I get dizzy a lot. And I faint a fair amount. I mean, I probably faint once every couple of months, probably.
Should you get checked more, do you think?
Should there be more checking, I think is what Allie says.
You're not a doctor, Allie. Not so much from you.
Here's the thing. I laughed so hard at that.
Yes.
But I wasn't aware you actually fainted. I thought you were just, you know, you got a little weak. You kind of hit your head on the mic. But actual fainting and being out even for a split second, yeah, I am really concerned for you.
That's stop it. Stop happen. It, Allie. We'll cotton to none of that. There'll be no concern for being in the midst of this laughter.
I'll tell you what I have no time for. I have no time for somebody who owns their own house to say, I haven't eaten since yesterday.
Yeah.
You know what?
You know who can't eat? Those of us who are in a studio where there's no food.
Only one person can control that, and I would say eat, dumbass.
But the pickup of, who's 62?
Yeah.
Strong.
No, never mind. Never mind that colossal sound of my head colliding into the soundboard.
Let's move on.
For the professional.
Guys, I don't know what you want me to say. I didn't do it on purpose. It was.
We're not saying you did it on purpose, dope. But we're saying if you faint once a month, there's something wrong with you.
There might be something wrong with me. That's
you're
true.
Not,
but
you're not
that might be.
You're not a Southern Belle during the Civil War, okay? You're not allowed to just get the vapors and just fan yourself and just get woozy at the sight of the Yankees coming down the road.
Ralph, have you ever fainted?
Never once.
Allie?
You've never fainted?
Have. You have.
What have you? When did you faint, Allie, and why?
I don't know why.
Was it on that date with Bill Cosby?
How dare you?
Was it at the llama farm?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Nope. I am allergic to some smell, and we can't pinpoint it, but it's whatever they use at nail salons to use acrylic nails. So it's that.
Hmm.
And I found that out when I was getting ready to go to prom. Got fake nails for the first time.
Yeah.
Fainted. Boom. Wow. Hit the sink on the way down. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever fainted. Ever.
Really? Ever?
I've never fainted.
I don't think that's not fainting a normal.
Not normal. No. It's not a regular thing that people...
Everyone's fainted?
What's wrong with you?
I thought everyone had fainted.
I agree.
Well, fainters would think that, wouldn't they?
Really? You've never fainted?
No.
Most people don't faint. It's a warning sign that something's horribly wrong when you
faint. Yeah, but in the course of living an entire adult life, so you know, something can happen to you.
But that's the point, is that it doesn't. Like, for most, I would guess for most people, I don't know. I mean, Bean assumes people faint. I assume people don't faint, so maybe we're both wrong, but...
Maybe it's just whatever your experience is, you feel that that's probably the norm, which is how many of us think about lots of topics, I guess. Well, I am still the healthiest guy in the world, as you know.
But six or seven times a year, and for no reason that we can tell.
Yeah.
That's concerning.
You need the head transplant.
While sitting down. That happened while you were sitting.
That was the most shocking part of the whole thing. Because I'm used to it happening when I get up off the chair, get up off the couch, get off the bed or whatever like that. I get dizzy or something like that. Going up or down stairs, I'm used to it happening then. But it was a shock to me.
I get that because I have very low blood pressure.
Right.
So I get up quickly and I get a little woozy, have to sit back down, that type of thing. But
you know what you do to solve that issue? You
sit back down. But he was sitting when it happened. That's why I'm very concerned.
What's your blood pressure, Allie? Do you know?
It's really low. That's all I know.
Because mine's like 90 over 60 usually, most of the time, which
barely
keeps me alive.
Yeah. When they do it, they're like, wait, something's wrong with the machine. And they'll switch it up to the other arm. I'm like, nope, just almost dead.
Are you positive your body's just not going, F you? I'm tired of this.
I don't know what's going on, but it did concern me yesterday. I have to be honest, and I did eat once we were done with the show, and that helped a little bit. I felt better.
Hold on a second. We're talking to you. How are you calling us?
What do you mean I'm calling you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good.
I'm calling from the past.
Okay.
I just fainted.
Wait.
Okay. I'm okay.
This is me. I'm talking to me.
Who turned 62?
It was a conversation we were having yesterday about Michael Bolton's birthday.
Yes, yeah, I'm fine. I'm the healthiest man.
What's happening to you, me?
I'm the healthiest man in the room.
Stop saying that!
Why are people watching llamas?
From Saturday Night Live and the film Nebraska and the new Last Man on Earth, we'll talk to actor Will Forte coming up after the top of the hour here on KROQ. Robert Kirkman talks Walking Dead next hour as well. First, though, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. Good morning, Ralph.
Wanted to do a little more research because I brought it up and people were curious about it, about the human head transplant guy.
Yes, please.
Yeah. His name is Dr. Sergio Canavero. He is at the Turin Advanced Neuromodulation Group in Italy.
All right.
And he...
Do they work out of a van?
They do work out of a van in Italy.
I need that info.
It's a cafe. You get an espresso in the front, new head in the back. And he has announced that he, according to his research and his work, which I don't want to know about because letting him try out head transplants, he says, a living person's head will be able to get attached to a donor body in as little as 2 years. That's what he's announcing.
Get attached to a donor body.
Yes. He is asking for financial support and funding, as you can imagine, for his head transplanting project. And he'll be at the American Academy of Neurological and Orthopedic Surgeons in Maryland this June to pitch his ideas and to get some money. Boy, this is Dr. Frankenstein. I'm telling you, people.
Wow.
Stay away from Dr. Sergio Canavero.
Although Bean should really give him some money because he's going to need him soon.
Bean should vote. F. Mars, what you need to volunteer for, Bean, is the head transplant donor list. If you're signing up to die for something, give something that you really need a shot.
If I could transport my head onto a younger, buffer, healthier body,
yes,
why not? What's
right.
the downside of that?
Exactly.
And by the way, I mean, just like when they, you know, transplant hands and they just have to connect all of the various connective tissue and veins and nerves and everything like that. I mean, it really is just, it's a fairly simple thing in theory. It's just in practice, I don't know how successful they would be.
It certainly does not seem
I feel like the head's a
easy.
Bit more complex.
I think it's a little more than the hands.
In theory, even.
But can't you connect the brain cortex from the head to the brain cortex for the body and just, if you can seal that baby up?
Sure.
Yeah.
Just seal that baby up.
Maybe. You're not throwing in a new transmission into your 69 Camaro.
Yeah, but if you have
tape,
exactly.
You're on your way. You know how many neuropathways are connected between the spinal cord and the brain?
Yes, but they do miracles every day in an operating room. I don't have any doubt that one day this will work. I don't know if it'll work in the next 2 years, but I bet one day they'll figure it out.
See, you and Dr. Sergio, man.
Maybe
you
too late for me to figure it out, but someone in the future will benefit from this surgery.
You should be the Igor to his Dr. Frankenstein, just be in the lab with him when he's starting to steal bodies and putting heads on. No good can come from it.
See, now that's the... Why are we wasting time with sex box when we could have a TV show where a guy can get his head transplanted onto a different body? That would be a show.
What if we transplant his head on a llama's body?
Oh.
He wouldn't watch
and he's
it.
Running around Arizona.
And then put a white and gold dress on him.
It's running. Oh, don't
it's
get me started with that effing
black.
Dress. I'm going to hurt somebody over that dress. How did that become a thing?
That was literally the biggest waste of time in the history of the internet.
It really was. We finally hit the tipping point of wasting time on the internet. People debating over the color of a dress.
Yeah, well.
Not the best point, Kevin. Good point.
Not the best use
of
the internet, perhaps.
Yeah, well.
I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
Allie, you're with Kevin?
I said hot take, Kevin.
Yeah.
That's good.
You gotta watch your stance, Kevin, because if you're that controversial, people will start really to be upset with our show.
Seriously, think before you speak, man.
Really.
Can't just say everything that comes to mind.
Can't just well vet us, man. We gotta work here every day. Showbiz news. Daniel Craig hurt again on the set of the new James Bond movie. This guy's a pussy.
What happened
His
now?
First injury was a knee injury while he was swimming in Austria. Now he was driving in Rome during a high-speed chase scene, driving his state-of-the-art silver Aston Martin DB10, by the way, which is just my dream car. When I hit the lottery tonight, when I get the Mega Millions numbers...
You're winning
first
tonight?
Thing I'm going to do is buy me a DB10. That's an amazing car.
A lot of upkeep on those.
That's all right. I'll have a staff of people. That'll be their job.
I like it.
He hit a bump in the road on Monday and just got airborne and smashed his head on the roof of the vehicle. So shouldn't James Bond be wearing a seatbelt at this point?
You would
really,
think.
In his
sure.
career? And knocked himself out.
Wow.
He pulled a Bean. He fainted.
He and Bean are like twins.
Now, the good news was, because of the nature of the shot, which was through the windshield at him, straight on, the camera was blocking his view. So in those situations, they put a stunt driver with a matching steering wheel in the passenger seat.
Okay.
This is commonly done in movies, so that the stunt driver can actually drive the car.
Oh, I see.
And you're just behind a dummy wheel. And you know, they're shooting through the windshield at you. So when he hit his head and lost consciousness, the stunt driver was still able to safely drive the car
That's
to
good.
A stop. So that was good. It could have been a lot worse.
He needs a head transplant now.
He needs a head transplant, yeah, after being knocked out in the car. So apparently he is recovering, and they're planning on getting back to production soon. So all is well. Hey, remember that tree they planted up at Griffith Park Observatory in honor of George Harrison?
Yeah. Sort of.
When he passed away, they planted a tree in his honor, and it turned out they had to tear it down because it was destroyed by beetles.
No.
Oh, right.
That story?
That's right.
The
remember
irony
that,
of that story,
that's
the beetles
funny.
Ate the tree and killed it. So they want you to know that there's a brand new tree that was planted on Wednesday up there, and they want everyone to go up to visit and visit the George Harrison tree, that he's got a new healthy tree in his honor, and they're giving tribute to the late legend.
Okay.
So put that on your list of things to do this weekend. Go visit George's tree. Right. It sounds like something they would have sent Allie to back in the day.
That's true.
The microphone at 4 o'clock in the morning, standing in front of the tree.
Put on a costume.
Put on a costume.
Something funny.
Can you dress up like one of the Beatles?
Don't joke.
What was the most up as Yoko?
What was the most embarrassing outfit you ever had to wear on Channel 5, Allie?
Hot dog
I know there
stick.
Were a lot of
hot
them.
Dog and
no,
stick?
I enjoyed hot dog on a stick because it brings joy to people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're jumping up and down rhythmically for the lemonade. That's fun. Wow, so many bad ones. I'll get back to you.
All right.
You're right.
Thanks, Kevin.
Hot take.
Mark, well, yeah.
How dare you.
Well.
Mark McGrath is not dead. There was a press release sent out yesterday saying that he was shot and killed while filming Adult Swim's Hot Package, but it was a complete hoax. So everyone relax. No one noticed, by the way.
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah. Hmm. Today's celebrity birthdays.
It does seem like that happens a lot. Like, if you hear someone's dead, maybe 50-50. They may not be.
The internet, yeah, the death hoax, for some reason, is a huge phenomenon. And I think it's, like, the weakest of all practical jokes. That guy's dead! No, he isn't. Ha!
Gotcha! Yeah,
gotcha! For that 1 second where you didn't know whether he was really dead or not. Ah, my elaborate prank finally paid off. That whole no, he's not thing. Made you Google. Stop it, death hoax people. Today's celebrity birthday is death hoax people.
Yep.
Donald Logue is 49 years old today. Love me some Donald Logue. He is Bullock, of course, on Gotham. Oh, boy. Did you see the most recent Gotham?
Nope. Don't.
Oh.
I did not.
Go ahead.
Come on, people.
It's been 4 days. Go ahead.
Eating away at me.
It has been 4 days.
It. Well, Fish Mooney is just over the top. You know she's my favorite character on this show.
Whoa!
No, before when I said
she was
over the top, I didn't know what I was talking about.
Okay.
Now she's over the top.
She had the big meeting upstairs.
She had the meeting with the manager of the hospital where she is being kept in the basement because she was kidnapped by pirates and they're using everybody for spare body parts. It might be the doctor from Italy actually doing head transplants. But she was negotiating for terms and she, I will be back when I can sit down. With the doctor. Until then, nobody leaves that basement. And then, I'm going to tell you, spoiler alert, I'm going to tell you what she did. I'm going to tell you what she did. So if you don't want to know, plug your ears or turn down the radio for 10 seconds. Then he wanted to keep her because he wanted to take her eyes out, to transplant her eyes into a wealthy patron. And so she taught him a lesson by taking a spoon and digging her own eye out. It popping on the floor and her stomping on it. That happened.
Fish Mooney.
Now Fish Spoony. That's what I call her.
Dude.
That is dark. That was, I couldn't believe I was watching regular television. I was like, what? Are you kidding me? Did that just happen?
Is she wearing a patch now?
So far. I don't know what she's
doing. And she was a made-up character for the show, right? She doesn't have a
corresponding
character.
She does not exist
in
the comic
comic
books, as far as I know.
Wow.
But that was intense. They're upping their game over there in Gotham.
Spooned it out and then stepped on it.
People may have turned up the radio by now, Kevin.
Oh, sorry.
Taught that by a lesson.
She did. And you try to give this to some rich person. Boom.
At any point did she say, what do you want me to do, spoon you to death?
I think we have an all-bean file callback.
I got to blow the dust off of that callback. Oh, I just got a news report here. The last person who knew what that meant died last week.
Oh, that's a shame.
That was a callback from about 5 years ago, wasn't
it? Five! You wish five. Try ten.
All right. I recuse myself.
Donald Logue, 49 years old today. Rosanda Chili Thomas of TLC's 44. Josh Groban's 34. And Katie Mara, a very talented actress, is 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz beat.
Actor Jack McBrayer on the program later on this morning. Actress Maren Dungey is going to be here as well. And Robert Kirkman, the creator of The Walking Dead, in about 50 minutes. First, though, very excited to welcome back to the show. It's been a while since we had him on talking about the film Nebraska. Will Forte is back with a brand new TV show called The Last Man on Earth. It debuts this Sunday night, March 1st, on Fox. Hey, Will. How you been, man?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Pleasure to have you back on the program. I was excited about this show when I saw, A, that you were in it, but B, that you created this. From the twisted mind of Will Forte, what made you think, hey, this world needs a show about the last man on Earth?
I don't know. You write little ideas down in notebooks, and then years later you come across them, and I don't know. There was something about it that seemed really like a fun idea. And I did this with the guys who did the Lego movie and 21 and 22 Jump Street, and they seemed to be on board, and we just, I don't know, it seemed like a fun idea.
How long ago did the first idea come to you where you said this might be a thing?
I have no idea. It could have been in there for 10 years. I don't know. I don't remember.
It's so funny.
That's a horrible answer.
I want to know why Kevin wanted to know. Like, where were you going with that, Kevin?
Well, I mean, sometimes people have ideas in their head for 20 years, and they go, that might be a thing, but I don't have time. I might not ever get to it. And then you finally do.
Well, what I do know is we were just sitting around trying to brainstorm ideas for several days. We brought up this one very early in that process and immediately said, no, that's a crappy idea.
Good.
And then at the very end, we had settled on this other thing. We were actually getting up to walk out and do this other idea. And then we just thought, for some reason, we brought it up one more time, and then we made a slight adjustment, and everything fell into place.
That's got to be cool. That's got to be that aha light bulb moment where you go, man, I think we've got something. It's got to be one of the most fun things about being in the business.
It really was stuff just started pouring out, and we wrote like five pages in, less than 10 minutes, and we were off to the races.
It does seem like being the last man on Earth would seem so much fun for the first couple of weeks to just be able to do anything that you want in the entire world. But then after that, I think the grim reality sets in, and then it doesn't seem quite so much fun.
Yeah, there's a ceiling. There's a ceiling to it. The show a lot, especially in the beginning, is about that period you're talking about, where it's like, oh, I can do anything I want to. Kind of mixed with, how the heck do you get everything? Have you seen the show Life After People?
Yes. You see what happens when the humans aren't screwing things up anymore, and then the Earth just starts to take it back over again.
Exactly. But the other part of that is just stuff starts shutting down, and I wouldn't know how to get everything going. I wouldn't know how to, to get plumbing working or electricity, all that stuff. So it's, trying to deal with ways to
find a place to poop.
Stuff working. Yeah.
I'm sorry, what, Bean? Find a place to poop when there's no plumbing anymore. That's the kind of real-world problem run into when you're the last man on Earth.
The last person on
anywhere,
Earth,
really,
just anywhere.
Yeah. In our TV show, we have a toilet pool.
Just a toilet pool, right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, Will, I know you've been asked this. I know you've been doing a ton of press for Last Man on Earth, again, debuting this Sunday night on Fox. And I hate to be the millionth guy to ask you this, but that glorious beard of yours. I mean, I can't remember the last time I saw such a beautiful piece of man hair.
Dude.
How'd you do it?
Wow, dude, back up.
Is it all real?
I had no idea that I had that in me. It's totally real. And, You know, I did not take any, you know, facial propecia or anything like that.
Is there such a thing?
Wherewithal and determination.
Bean would like to make love to your beard. Is that okay?
Really? How could I not? Have you seen him with a beard?
I have.
It's majestic.
Okay, take
I
it easy.
It off. Here's the funniest thing. I had to shave it off at some point. And my mom asked to get the hair for some art project she was doing.
Wow. Oh, this got weird. You know
what? Your mom needs to be looked into.
Don't tell people I said it. Yeah. Really bummed.
Now, is this a fair question or too much of a spoiler alert, Will,
oh,
to ask?
Spoiler. I'll already say it's too much of a spoiler.
Are you really the last man on Earth?
Well, I will say that there are, you know, we knew that this show was very different, and we took a lot of time to figure out ways to make it to have little twists and turns, and so we're trying to be very vague about what happens. But there are other people in this show, other very talented actors. We do, but I will also say we have dream sequences, we have flashbacks. So I'm sorry that I have to be vague about it, but we spent so much time trying to create these nice little twists and turns, and we're trying to preserve them.
Understood. We're talking to actor Will Forte here on The Kevin and Bean Show. He's a creator, writer, actor of Last Man on Earth, debuting this Sunday night at what time is it on Fox on Sunday?
It's 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, okay. I want to ask you about another TV show just real quick, Will, because I saw you on Mr. Kimmel's program this week. I've never seen a grown man as excited about The Bachelor as you. Maybe Jimmy. Maybe Jimmy's the only other guy who loves The Bachelor as much as you do. What's up with that?
I have no idea. I don't know. It's kind of like, I remember, it was like when I first saw The Sound of Music. I friggin' loved it.
Wow.
It was so great.
And this
was a very similar thing. Like, I didn't think that I would take to it, but it just reached in there, and I'm more Bachelor inside me than I am Will Forte now.
Who are you rooting for?
Yeah, who are you rooting for?
The virgin or
you know
the...
what? Don't say anything. Don't.
Oh, you're behind.
Just kidding.
You didn't screw anything up.
He's behind.
I'm
behind. Oh. I'm still going to watch it to see the journey. But I just hear
it
course.
Is a journey.
It
is,
sure.
It's one of them.
Who is it?
It's Becca, and then who's the other one?
Which one's the virgin?
I think that's Becca.
Okay, then the other one is the high-pitched blonde.
That talks like this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay,
right?
That's the first I'm hearing this.
Sorry.
Oh, way to spoil it for a belly. Wow.
Hey, he keeps asking. Exactly. If I don't want to know the spoiler, I won't ask.
And it's sad that they killed the other girl.
Yeah, that
so
is sad when they died.
Well, do you think?
What then?
In a million years, do you think any of these fame whores, excuse me, really want to move to Iowa and live with a farmer? For reals.
I'll tell you what. I got to meet him on the show, and then he came. My mom was there, and he came, and we had a very short conversation afterwards. This guy's really handsome. He's very nice. I'm not saying I'm going to move to Iowa with him. But
you would.
You know, I could see one of those women falling in love with him and moving out there. He's a good guy.
He's pretty dreamy. It's not the worst idea you've ever had, Will. I like it. All right, Last Man on Earth, 9 o'clock this Sunday night, March 1st. It looks fascinating, and, you know, we can't wait to see it just because you're in it, Will. You're one of our favorites, man. We always appreciate the time on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks so much.
Oh, my God. Thanks for having me on. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you, man.
I got to tell you, when this next sound comes on, I am so excited.
Yeah, there it is. Sunday nights at 9 on AMC, it's The Walking Dead. The man responsible for killing off all of your favorite characters on that show has just joined the Sid Studio. Ladies and gentlemen, creator, executive producer, and writer of The Walking Dead, Robert Kirkman, back on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Mr. Kirkman.
Thanks for having me.
Stop with the killing, dude. You're breaking hearts. You're breaking up families.
It's getting old for me, too. I know. I'm sorry.
This is a show about zombies, though, Bean.
I know,
but do you want them to treat each other with respect?
I just feel like, especially this season, man, you've been hurting my heart. That's all. And I know you hear that all the time. But, boy, actors are just on a short lease when they get hired by you, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody knows what they're signing up for. And everybody is, you know, very invested in making the best show possible. So as upset as we all get when these kind of things happen, we all know that it is, you know, to service the best show and to do the best stuff. But I will say after five seasons, it's like, I don't want to do this anymore. Why do we really have to do this?
When people bring stuff up to you like that, do you think, oh, wait till they find out about because you're so far ahead?
A little bit. I mean, yeah. I know that I don't want to mention, you know, some of our big deaths this season just in case people are behind.
Sure.
But, you know, one of them we filmed in July and it didn't happen until November. So, you know, there is like a long period for us where we're like, yeah, that was rough. We're over it. And then people see the episode and it's like, oh, I remember that.
We're so
oh,
upset.
Oh, God. That was rough.
Do you,
and Carl's still alive.
I think
alive.
The point I want to make, though, is that it affects us, too. Like, we're not, like, gleefully, like, yeah, let's get rid of these people. Like, I think that the fact that we're emotionally invested and it upsets us shows that, like, we're on the right track and we're doing the emotional show that we're trying to do. And we all feel it. We're all there with you, even though we're causing it.
Yeah, it's in the service of the story.
Right.
Exactly. I'm sure I've asked you this before, but there's no way you ever even look at the message boards, right? Because that would just be – that would be horrible, right,
well,
for you?
I don't underestimate how narcissistic I am. I mean, I don't read a lot
Robert
of reviews.
Loves some Robert.
I don't read a lot of reviews, but I check out the odd message
I mean the fans. I mean the fans who were on talking about discussing the twists and turns and plot points and everything like that. I mean, do they – in a million years, would something like that – would crowdsourcing ever affect the direction that you go or a plot line that you might take on?
I mean, not really because, you know, when I do look at that stuff, I'm like – oh, they're really going to like what's coming up next.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, they're really going to hate what's coming up next. Just because we are so far ahead of the game. So, like, people commenting on, you know, I think we just aired our 11th episode of the season. You know, we're already working on season 6. So
that's insane.
So, Kevin, talking about Carl is not swaying you in any way.
No.
Not
no, if anything,
incessant.
Kevin's just keeping Carl alive.
Yeah, that's my point.
I feel
it's not
like,
helping.
I feel like I've done the opposite of what
exactly.
I wanted. Is yes. that Carl is now everybody's, you know, getting behind, and he's never going to.
You've come around, though, right? You
nope.
like him now.
You know what? Let me ask you this question.
Yes, please.
A lot less about Carl in the last couple episodes.
It's because we're coming
months.
Around.
Oh, it's coming around. All right.
Oh. He did grow a foot, though, in the offseason, didn't he?
He does. He just keeps getting taller. He's
going to
be the
boy.
Tallest.
Hey, Dad, I need a
sure.
gun.
I need a gun.
Yeah. I'll just punch the zombies, Dad.
My favorite comment on the message boards after this most recent episode that aired last Sunday night was about how Judith is overacting once again and the rest of the cast is having to carry her, which I just thought was hilarious.
Can I just talk about the Judith baby doll?
Sure.
Because on set, we have a baby doll that represents her when she's not really seen in a scene so that we don't have to, you know, deal with having an actual real baby on set.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
it is the most horrifying thing I've ever seen.
The doll?
It's scarier than anything that's ever been on the show.
Oh, it's not supposed to be scary, is it?
It's this real baby-looking thing, but it's kind of dirty, and it's got dead eyes, and it's just, it's scary. I was there for an episode, and it was, like, laying in the corner, and I was like, we need to move that.
Why don't you get a better baby doll?
No, it's the fact that it looks so good that makes it so
I
scary.
See. So maybe you sort of believe for a second.
Could
it just looks like
American
a little
sniper.
Yeah, exactly.
No?
Yes, I wish that really took me out of the movie. I'll comment on that. But there's been a lot of baby dolls. It's been a big year for baby dolls. The Nick is an amazing show.
Yes it
great.
Is.
Great. I love it. It's got a lot of weird looking babies in it.
How do you amazing year for baby dolls?
Yeah, it's big year. It's big
how do you
year
have
for dolls.
Time to watch TV?
You know, I make time for TV. I love TV.
I know, but you make TV, so you probably spend a tremendous amount of your life doing that.
A little bit. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I got
what
the
else
comics
do you watch?
And the TV. You know, I'm watching The Americans. Really like that show.
Fantastic show.
You know what? Let me give a shout-out for my family at AMC. Better Call Saul is, like, the best lawyer show that's ever been on TV. And if anybody is discounting it because they're like, it's just a Breaking Bad spinoff. Like, it's awesome. I am dying to see that every Monday night. Love that show.
Are you appointment TV type of guy? You have to watch it live or
I have to,
most
I have
of us
to
are
get
busy
there
enough.
I have to get there 15 minutes late so
good
that
call.
I can fast forward through the commercials.
Good call.
Having said that, though, people do watch The Walking Dead live because your advertisers may be listening.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, my advertisers, sure. They'll have me killed. But I think The Walking Dead has become this thing where people like to, you know, talk about it at the same time while they're watching it, like during the commercial breaks, and they're watching commercials while they're tweeting about things. And The Walking Dead has become this weird phenomenon where people do watch it live and they do, you know, enjoy the commercials, I guess.
The funny thing is, by the way, is The Walking Dead is so big that that's the show that is credited with driving down the ratings for the Grammys and the Oscars this year because they were on opposite The Walking Dead, which is just crazy because it used to be nothing could touch those shows.
I mean, has to have something to do with those shows being kind of boring, right?
Of course.
Yes.
No?
Certainly.
Comparatively.
Come on.
A little bit.
We are in season 5 of The Walking Dead on AMC, and it has been revealed just since the last time we had you in, Robert, that the finale is going to be a 90-minute episode, and it's going to be on March 29th, right?
It's going to be huge.
So what does he mean by that?
It's going to be huge. I don't
know. Well, I mean, look, it's a Walking Dead finale. Of course, there's going to be some cool stuff happening. But yeah, I think this is going to be a big one.
Okay. All right.
Oh, we need more.
But he can't say more.
I feel like I've
there's no way you can say more. Oh, such a shame. All right, Robert Kirkman is here. He is the executive producer and the writer and, I don't know, the director and the special effects guy.
No, I do not direct.
He does everything that's possible. And he's the actor that plays Rick. And he is here. We'll talk Walking Dead when we get back.
Our friend Robert Kirkman in studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show from The Walking Dead, Sunday nights at 9 on AMC. You must be surprised that the ratings continue to get better and better and better. No one expects that, right? You should be dipping by this point. You're in season 5, for God's sake.
I actually demand it now. I think if anyone listening to this is not watching the show, you have to start watching the show. If the ratings don't continue to go up, it just wrecks my life. So it's something that I've come to expect. No, it's always startling and shocking and crazy. And, you know, I'm a pessimist. So
what did you think about when it was up against the Oscars? Did you think, oh, this might be rough?
You know, we always like think like, oh, yeah, we might see a big dip or whatever. But you know, it seems like we never have. So, you know, it's always like kind of shocking. Like I say, I'm a pessimist, so I'm always expecting the worst. And right. It's like, no, Robert, wrong again. And I'm like,
Next
I'm never going to change.
Question from one of our listeners. Why are there no fat zombies?
Well, that's actually fairly interesting. You would think it was like because we hate fat people, but I hate to break it to your radio listeners. I am not a thin man. No, it's actually because when you turn someone into a zombie, the only thing you can do to a human being is add to them. And so if they start big and you turn them into a zombie, they look terrible because you put like more layers on them and then they look like big balloon people. And so you can't
Maybe
make...
the show needs big balloon people.
Well, they wouldn't look like real human beings.
Okay. All right.
We actually, when Greg Nicotero and his team at K&B find people to make zombies, you find people with small, thin frames and heads. If you look at a picture of me, with any of the actors, you could hollow out my head and put their head in it like a helmet. Like that's how big my head is.
Oh,
I have
wow.
a giant head.
I'm so happy.
And
to hear
so
you say
I would
that.
Make a horrible zombie because my head would just get bigger and it would look fake.
Plus, I get the feeling the zombies aren't eating very well. They're always looking
hungry.
For food.
It's yeah. true.
True.
Always
true.
Hungry.
What has your
the best way to lose weight is to die?
Yeah.
Just a tip.
It's
out
extreme,
there.
But that okay, down. That's a good tip.
It works. It's the only thing that works 100% of the time. No one has gained weight after death.
That's an excellent point.
And you're never going to gain it back after you lose it, too. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
What it's has foolproof. It's effective.
It's foolproof.
Your favorite zombie death been on the show?
Oh, geez. So
there's
hard.
So many good ones.
I mean, the well zombie is still a high watermark. Oh, God. That was
yeah,
not.
You
I
just
didn't
said
mean
that.
Oh, God. That was a terrible pun. But no, when that thing rips in half on the edge of the well, that was.
I like the ice socket rocket from this past episode. I like that. That,
yeah, that was
awesome.
Pretty, I love the decapitations, if I can just say that.
Sure.
I think that anytime they're running and then you see like a head part like spinning in the air afterwards, those are always great. And those are all digital. Like we don't really like cut heads apart, but like they'll swipe at a zombie's head and then in the computer they'll add the knife and then they'll just take its head apart and like put spinning head parts in the air.
Are you saying that? That the zombies aren't real?
This is weird.
No, they're not. Sorry.
I also like the fact
What's your stance on Santa Claus?
I love Santa Claus.
Okay.
So I've met Santa. I don't want to brag. You know, he and I hang out from time to time. Every now and then I tell him to give terrible gifts to kids on purpose.
Okay, good.
Not mine. Other people's kids.
Yeah. Sure.
But it's a lot of fun.
How, in the timeline of the event that created the world in which the characters live, how far into it are we now? Has it been a year? Has it been 5 years? What's it been?
It's been, you know, I don't really pay attention that much.
We don't put a calendar
it's been like, I want to say 2 or 3 years.
Because there have been
some, you know, pretty long gaps, like in between 3 and 4, or season 3 and season 4, there was a, you know, like a year or so that passed. And there was some time that passed in between season 2 and 3. The gap between seasons 4 and 5 was actually the first time we ever continued the show right from the moment we left.
Yeah, it was like no time.
Yeah, yeah, right. yeah. So it's been, you know, it's been a while.
And the zombies, because it's been so long, some of them are getting gooier than they were before, it looks like, right?
Yeah,
or,
some of them
or
are
more decrepit.
If you compare a zombie in season one to a zombie in season five, you'll see that, like, more often a lot of them don't have noses and they have, like, more exposed cheekbones and they seem to be a little bit thinner and more decayed. And that's because, you know, they have been around for a while. But, you know, the zombies are always making more zombies, so there's still some fresh ones in the mix, too. But will
we ever see any celebrity zombies?
Nah, you know, I like to say that there's already been a few, but people haven't noticed them because that gets people going back through the DVDs and on Netflix.
But it's totally,
and it's a lie.
Not true. Totally a lie. Yeah, we haven't done that.
You haven't done that because it would totally take you out of the story.
Yeah, yeah, there was a good Burt Reynolds, though, in season three.
Was there?
So,
wow.
Yeah, give it a shot, guys.
How about that?
Give it a shot.
All right.
There was a little bit of controversy after this most recent episode of The Walking Dead. Some of the fans who don't read the comic book were surprised to find out that Aaron is gay. On the show, the character Aaron happens to be on the show, and it was it's always surprising to me in 2015 to see some of the things that people write about that. But I'm sure you were aware of it. I'm sure you saw that. There were people who were like, hey, what up? I don't need this on my Walking Dead. That's not what I tune in for. It's ridiculous.
My favorite was, my kids watch this show. And I'm like, what? Your priorities are completely misplaced.
Parenting.
It's been a fun Twitter feed. It makes me like America less. Can I just say that on the
sure,
radio? Yeah.
You but, can. It's disheartening. It's
and I mean, I love really America.
Yes, I know you do. But you do shake your head and go, "How are these people alive in the world today, living in this country and breathing this air? If that's the way they're still reacting,
You know, it's we've come a long way and we're not there yet. So you know, let's keep trying to be nice to each other.
It was just, you know, more shocking. I wasn't shocked at all that he was gay. I was shocked how clean he was to see somebody pop up on The Walking Dead who's like, he's got pressed clothes and cleaning and just it looks like he takes showers, hair looking good. I mean, that was
I could make a metrosexual joke, but I will say that, you know, that is because. Because
they're living the life.
Yeah, it's because that place is from. You know, we purposefully made sure that they were as, you know, clean as possible. Just because, and the end of that episode when they're at that gate and you hear those kids playing on the other side, you kind of get a sense as to what they're about to walk into, and it is going to change the show radically.
A couple of is the new place called Alexandria?
Yes,
it is. Okay. Rumors online that Rick may start dating again. Any comment on that?
There's rumors about that. It's possible there might be some romance in Grimes' future. I can neither confirm nor deny.
I mean, it's been long enough. I think he's waited a respectful distance after Lori, right?
Sure. I mean, it's been, you know, in continuity, I'd say it's been almost 2 years at this point.
So. Here's what I know. Every time they're excited to go through whatever gate, doesn't always work out.
Doesn't end well.
This is The Walking Dead.
Yes.
So, you know.
I'm saying that's where we left off.
Yeah. I mean, things are not always what they seem. And people they encounter do seem to end up being fairly dangerous. So,
yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if they survive.
Like Applesauce Guy. Is he a major part going forward?
Yeah.
No, I know he's a part. His partner is there and everything else.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot more gay kissing on The Walking Dead. I apologize.
Oh, that's fine. I'm more upset by the fact that he doesn't like applesauce. That's my thing.
That's crazy talk,
yeah,
really.
That's crazy talk.
That is crazy talk.
Right then I was like, I don't trust you, sir. You eat that applesauce.
All right, last question for me, Mr. Kirkman, and that is a lot of people, you know, they fans of the book for such a long time, they expected to see Aaron. Now Aaron's here. Now people are starting to go, well, what about Negan?
There's a lot of really cool characters from the comics that will be appearing in the show eventually. I can say that Negan will definitely at some point be in the television show, but it's just a matter of when. It could be a while. It could be fairly soon. Could be the end of this season. You never know.
All right.
But you know, there are definitely big things like Negan that are, you know, in the comic that we just have to bring those into the show, or otherwise it wouldn't be The Walking Dead.
I got to tell you, one of my favorite things is Michonne and the way her character has changed throughout the series. And it occurred to me this past Sunday that she's running things. And she lets other people think they're running things until she needs to step in.
She's definitely a
very
powerful voice.
She lets Rick think he's in charge.
I hate to break it to you. All women are doing
that. Yeah, probably. That's probably true.
Aware.
I can confirm that from experience.
I was not aware, but then when that happened and she told Ray, I was like, she's the only person in that group that's totally in charge.
Well, because Rip really values her opinion too. I mean, I think you know she's a little bit of the you know the bellwether for him. I think
I love that.
I mean, Rick is always putting himself out there. He's always making these decisions, and sometimes they go well, and sometimes they go poorly. I think that Michonne is a character where you haven't really seen her make those kind of mistakes. She's very calculated and very you know wise in a way. You know, she's a little bit more. She's right more often, I would say.
Right. The Walking Dead airs Sunday nights at 9 on AMC. Robert Kirkman is our guest. Hey, listen, before we let you go, congratulations. Big news on Outcast. Tell us what you know. What can you tell us?
Well, Cinemax just picked it up for series, so we're going to be filming that one in starting in July. And
is that a good fit for you? Were you happy with them getting it?
You know, it's really great. I mean, it's cool. I love AMC. They're a fantastic network. Cinemax, there's less restrictions, and we can, you know, push boundaries in some really interesting ways. And
how could you push boundaries more than you already are?
Well, that's the question. So tune in to Cinemax to see Outcast. It's an exorcism show, so we're doing demons instead of zombies. I'm really excited about that. Try to mark out another little corner of the horror world.
Awesome.
And, like Walking Dead, it'll appeal to people that love that stuff, but will have its own voice and twist on the genres.
When do you think that will air? Do you know?
I don't know exactly.
Ways off, right?
You know, later, like really late in this year, early next year, something in that window.
All right. And the Walking Dead spinoff, what's the status of that now?
We filmed the pilot.
It's Carl? Yeah, that's coming soon.
It's Carl. Hey, eating pudding.
We have a jingle.
That is filmed. We're planning the production of that series as we await AMC's official green light. So I can say the pilot looks amazing. Our director, Adam Davidson, just killed it. Like, it looks great. And I'm really happy with what's happened, and I can't wait for people to see it.
You're a mogul.
You need to spin more plates, Robert. That's what your problem
you
is.
You are an actual mogul.
Great
that
beard.
Happened.
I don't know about that.
And a great beard.
Great beard.
Yeah. Robert, you're the best. We love the show more than anything in life.
I love you guys more than anything in life.
And thanks for
coming. Sorry, family.
Thanks for coming in and joining us today. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
What does Ralph hate the listeners, by the way?
I don't know what that means.
Don't start with that crap now. What? Not
just
this week.
Seems like you never give away anything anymore.
Oh.
I see what you did there, Mr.
What's
Reverse
going
Psychology?
On at the end of the table?
I am going to give away something right now that's pretty awesome because I love the listeners. And it is a trip to New Orleans.
Yay!
Or Narlands. As that guy says.
Which guy says that?
Emeril Lagasse.
Oh, is that the one? Okay.
Bam! Narlands. Bam! Bam!
Who's actually from Fall River, Massachusetts.
What the what?
Yeah.
Why do you talk like that
Why
then?
Why do I know that?
I don't know, because you're a Massachusetts.
You're a masshole.
It's a trip to New Orleans as we celebrate the movie Focus, starring Will Smith and Margot Robbie, about a couple of con artists working down there in the Big Easy. So to celebrate the film, we are sending listeners, and have been all week long, a trip for two to New Orleans, including airfare, hotel, and $500 spending cash, all thanks to the folks who are bringing us the movie Focus, which is in theaters everywhere today. So I thought to celebrate, we would talk about Will Smith movies of the past. And I've got a clip of a Will Smith movie here. I'll give you a little bit of a hint. You need to listen and then identify the name of this Will Smith movie. It's from 2007. It's a post-apocalyptic science fiction film. He plays a doctor who is trying to remedy mutants who have been mutated by a virus. Here is the scene from this film.
Every single person that you or I has ever known is dead! Dead!
There is no God.
He does not have good bedside manner, that guy right there. If you know the name of that movie, call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First caller to get through with the correct answer wins a trip to New Orleans. It's just that easy.
Call right now and we'll get right back to you.
No, we will not get back to you. We will deal with you right there when you call. Kevin always making things muddier. I can't wait to see this Focus, by the way. It looks great.
It does look great.
Sure does. And it's in theaters everywhere today, as I mentioned. This made me laugh. Kevin Federline in the news, believe it or not.
What?
Yeah.
No. He's still alive?
Yeah. He says he isn't impressed with Britney Spears' new boyfriend.
And
who cares? He tells the National Enquirer, wait for this, that he thinks Charlie Ebersole, Christine boyfriend, Britney Spears' new boyfriend, is an opportunist that is using his ex-wife.
Are you kidding me?
That is rich.
Hot.
Wow.
Get us on the phone.
How great is that?
That's unbelievable.
You know, they do have kids together, so she's never going to be rid of that Britney, that Kevin Federline. But yeah. I think that's just a spectacular take on that relationship. And CW has announced they're working on another superhero TV series. Come on! How great is this? We live in a golden age, people.
I don't know. You haven't told us yet.
The people who brought you Arrow and The Flash and the CW, a brand new superhero series based on DC Comics featuring Adam and Firestorm. Is this thing on?
Huh? Adam, what the
heck? Adam and Firestorm!
Adam and Firestorm.
These are two
different people?
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, Firestorm's two different people, right? Are you with me? Isn't that funny? Right?
No, I have no idea what you're
so
talking
three
about.
Three people?
Because he's Ronnie Raymond and he's Dr. Martin Stein together. He's fused. And that's
I don't
why
know
they
who
Firestorm.
Any of those people are.
And then Ray Palmer's the Atom.
We don't.
Right?
He's the Atom. A-T-O-M, the Atom?
Atom, yes.
Is
A-T-O-M.
He a tiny, tiny, tiny little superhero like your friend Ant-Man?
He can be. He is in the comics. I don't know if he's going to do it in the TV show or not. As of yet, he hasn't. He hasn't shrunk down, but he's got an exoskeleton-powered suit that I think should be able to shrink him.
I don't mean this in a bad way, Ralph, but have we gone too far down the superhero food chain?
Did you hear the description?
I will come to your house, and I will drink all your chocolate milk.
I just feel like not everything that's ever been in a comic book needs to be a TV show.
Well, it looks like the world would beg to differ.
It depends on how it's done, and so far they've been doing pretty good work.
Arrow and Flash are great shows. I'm loving those shows. So I trust these people. Trust. Before I get celebrity birthdays, real quick email from a listener I wanted to read because we were just talking about the movie Focus. This is from Austin Webb. Ralph, I heard you talking about the new film Focus, and I recently saw a billboard for it. I immediately recognized the face up there next to Will Smith's. You see, when I first moved to Hollywood, I was lucky enough to meet that beautiful blonde. We dated for a bit, but she just wasn't my type. But to see where she is now, wow, I really regret that I broke up with Margot Robbie.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Nope.
I broke up with that Margot Robbie.
It's fine.
I broke up with that Margot Robbie.
It's fine.
I broke up with that Margot Robbie.
It's fine.
I broke up with that Margot Robbie.
Don't encourage the listeners to send us that stuff, Ralph.
That's from Austin Webb. Thank you, Austin. I appreciate it.
Awful.
I broke up with that Margot Robbie. You know,
Hey,
I love that.
We got a winner for you, dude.
Good. Rob?
Yay.
Hey, do you know what the movie is, the clip we played?
Yeah, it was an I Am Legend.
I Am Legend, indeed. Well done, sir. Congratulations. You're going to New Orleans.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is kind of awesome. Congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, Rob. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Thank you, sir. It's fun to give away nice things to nice people.
Yes, it is.
Sure. By the way, did you ever see that, I Am Legend? I saw that film. Did you
I don't
see
think
it?
I did. I think it was one of those that I wanted to but didn't have time.
The head mutant, the guy, the leader of the mutants, Dash Mihawk played him. He never speaks in the film, and they do a lot of CGI. It's kind of, it's one of those, who's the Andy Serkis, right, who does all the motion control performances. Mm-hmm. He was in that, and he's the guy from Ray Donovan, of course, and other projects.
Love
great
him.
Actor. Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Donald Logue. Speaking of comic book TV shows, he, of course, is Harvey Bullock in Gotham, 49 years old today. Rosanda Chilli Thomas is TLC. She's not TLC, of course. She's one of
she's
the members of TLC.
She's I think T. she's T or
she's
C.
T. She's C?
I thought she was T.
T.
She's Chilli.
She's Chilli. I thought she was C,
so
right?
C.
Yeah.
Right.
Get it so together. The
last name was Thomas. I just thought she might be T. Okay.
No.
I
believe
not Chilli Thomas. No one knows that.
It's Chilli. Okay. She just knows Chilli.
All right. All right.
44 years old today.
Apologize. That was aggressive. Sorry.
That's all right. Bring it on. Don't make him faint. Josh Groban's 34, and actress Katie Mara turns 32 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show of his beat.
Actor Jack McBrayer from, of course, he was Kenneth the Page on 30 Rock. He is one of the co-stars along with Triumph the Insult Comic Dog on a new Adult Swim show. We'll be talking to him later this half hour here on K-Rock. Actress Maren Dungey next hour as well. First, though, Kevin, do you know what time of year it is?
It's late February.
Right.
It's almost Final Four time.
Right. Okay, good. You're in the right to ballpark. We're talking ballpark. You're in the right ballpark talking sports.
Hockey playoffs mid-April.
It's
baseball
right?
time.
Take me out to the ball game.
It's baseball time.
Take me out to the game.
It's not baseball time.
I just want to be at the game. I would like to eat at the game. I'd like popcorn and candy in the home team.
It's not baseball
at the
time.
Game.
He may not have all the words down just right. Yes, it is spring training time in Arizona and Florida. And for me, a Seattle Mariners fan, that means once again a season of heartbreak and disappointment. But for Southern California baseball fans with two competitive teams, there's a great chance that the Angels and or the Dodgers will make the playoffs and who knows, might even win another World Series. So it's a very exciting time for baseball fans this time of year.
Now, when is the first preseason game?
Those years are probably starting about a couple of weeks, I would imagine. We'll start seeing preseason action.
That's when it starts.
And then the season begins usually first week of April or so. A lot of players very excited for the new season. In fact, our friend Yasiel Puig, Los Angeles Dodgers outfielder, actually showed up a little bit early, the time when the pitchers and catchers were supposed to report for spring training in Glendale, Arizona. Yasiel was there with him. He was there ahead of time. He's so excited about playing baseball this year. We thought we'd catch up with him and find out how his offseason was and what he has to look forward to in 2015. Hi, Yasiel.
Yasiel Puig.
Yasiel Puig, indeed. How have you been? We haven't talked to you in a while.
It's been a long time. I like to talk to you guys more often. I love you guys. Chico, how you doing, baby? All right. Hey, Chico, Kevin, the man. All right. Hey.
So, Yasiel Puig, right.
Yeah, we
mentioned that you showed up even early. You cut your vacation short to show up at spring training
who
early. How come?
Who needs vacation? It's time to work hard, baby. I love baseball.
Well, I mean,
love to play baseball. I love to play baseball, man. You know, that's what I do for a living. It's how I got out of Cuba. You know, I've seen a lot of adversity. So, it's time to work hard. You know, I want to be a big star. I want to be like Kobe Bryant or baseball. I want to be LeBron James or baseball, man. You know what I'm saying? I want to be B-star. So, you know, mm-hmm. I got to come here and work hard, man. You know?
Now, for folks who don't know your backstory, if you would just briefly, you talked about the adversity you faced in Cuba. Like what, Yasiel?
When I grew up, I was a personal cabana boy for Fidel Castro.
Personal cabana boy?
That's right. He used to pimp me out to a Japanese businessman, make me take off my clothes and do bad things. That's how I put food on the table for my family. When I was 11 years old, you know, I was castrated so that he could make a kite out of my foreskin. The first time I took batting practice, it was with my grandma's foot. So that was
okay.
I didn't have money for baseball.
I've read a story about his sister's leg or something. You used that as a bat at one point?
My grandma's foot. Hey, listen, man. My grandma's foot was my first baseball. My sister's leg was my first baseball bat. Yeah. You know, I have to do what I got to do. Time is tough. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then every once in a while, you know, I have to. I gave up 11 kidneys to make enough money to get a raft made out of corrugated tin.
You had 11 kidneys?
You know, I gather them around town. You know what I'm saying? I used to barter with them for bags of sugar. Life was tough, man.
Wow, you did have a difficult upbringing. So, again, he turned your foreskin into a kite?
That's right, man. He's just doing the tennis stuff. It's like, who needs a kite? He's a grown man. You know what I'm saying? He has guns. He has big Rolls Royce. But he said, hey, look, I want to make a kite. I was like, okay, well, what do you want me to do about it? I'm just a little poor boy. You know, I'm like a slave to you, man.
Right.
He said,
okay.
Hey, come here, give me your big penis. That's okay. You know, my friend, I cut it off with machete, and then he took his foreskin and made it tight.
All right, Yasiel.
You know, I was like, hey, man, I got to make a better life for myself. I got to make a better life for my family. And I remember, you know, when I was 12 years old, I had to fight my mother to the death, you know, just for entertainment.
What are you talking about? You had to fight your mom to the death. What are you talking about?
Listen, what happened, man? We were gathered around, you know, one time. I was, you know, rolling cigars to help make money. It was my third job because I'm in the morning time. I like to work the cotton gin. And then in the afternoon, I pick the sugar in the sugar field, the sugar cane. And then at night time, you know, as a little boy, I roll the cigar when I have a free time, you know, just make a little extra money.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there with my mama. I said, Mama, tell me a story about how life is going to turn out better for us because, you know, it's a tough time in Cuba. And next thing I know, a general come over. His name was Alejandro. And he said, hey, you guys, you need to fight to the death. So he brought us a bowl of glass and some glue. And I put my fist in the glue, and then we have to dip our fist in glass. And then I fought my mom to the death. But, you know, when she was dying and I was ripping her carotid artery out, she looked at me and she said, I want you to become something. I want you to make something of yourself. So next thing you know, I moved to America and I'm a big baseball star.
So he did it for his mom.
He did it for your mom.
That's a beautiful story.
That is a beautiful story. That is
beautiful.
Right now, I'm eating an Egg McMuffin. I drive a Rolls Royce. I have a good life.
Things are good for you.
I play baseball. Yasiel Puig.
UCLA Puig indeed. All right, last question, UCLA, and that is, how are you going to get the bitter taste of the postseason out of your mouth? You had a terrible, terrible series against the Cardinals. You remember you struck out every time you got up to the plate. How are you going to put that behind you and move on? And what are you going to do different in 2015 to make you the all-star once again that we know you can be?
Because I've been in the offseason, I've been doing a lot of therapy. It's very easy. I've already gotten over it. And the secret to having a better postseason, man, your strikeout is very disappointing. You come back. It's a very easy secret. Okay. All you got to do, have sex with a lot of beautiful women.
Well, I can see how that would help.
And tomorrow, you're willing to put the time in to make that happen?
Oh, that's right. I'm destroying a woman right now.
All right. Well, we'll let you get back to that.
Thank
you, Yaseel.
Is he trying to deal you smack? What's going on here, Allie? Jack McBrayer comes in. I feel like he's pushing pharmaceuticals on you. What's happening?
It took a turn. He's very polite, mm-hmm. very kind. He's from Georgia.
He sucks
raised
you in.
Right. Sucks me in. Then he's like, shouldn't be drinking that soda right there. How about some smack? And I was like, that's too much. That's crazy.
Jack, what did you say Mountain Dew was?
Well, I don't want to go on record as saying, but it may not be made of all natural or organic ingredients.
What? That's crazy.
That is crazy, but it's so delicious. How can it be bad for me?
I don't know.
This is a treat. As we said when you walked in the room, I can't believe in all the years that we loved you on 30 Rock that I don't think we've ever had you on the Kevin and Bean Show. So I'm glad you're doing the Jack and Triumph show on Adult Swim just because it brought you in. Ladies and gentlemen, actor Jack McBrayer joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, sir?
I'm very fine. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Nice to meet you. I didn't realize, I guess, until I started reading up on the new show that you have a long history with Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. You guys worked together back in the day as well, right?
Well, sort of. We were both kind of children of Conan O'Brien, in so much as working on his show when he was in New York. But it wasn't until 2012 where I was actually able to work with Triumph directly. We did a segment where we went to a hot dog stand in Chicago called the Wiener Circle.
I rented the Wiener Circle, by the way. It's a terrible movie. Don't get that.
Sir.
What a beautiful story.
You were on Conan 80 times in sketches. What kinds of stuff did he have you do?
Ridiculous stuff. I had just moved to New York after spending several years in Chicago doing the Second City. And so when I moved to town, they did incorporate me in all their comedy sketches. But for the most part, I was playing like a hillbilly. I was wearing overalls. I would have like fake Billy Bob teeth.
But it paid the bills.
Now, was that ever offensive to you as a proud Southerner that they would rely on those stereotypes to put you on national TV like that?
Oh, gosh, no. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like anybody back home was like, how dare he? How dare he?
He's making us look bad. They were just psyched to see their guy on TV,
that's
right?
That's exactly correct. That's exactly correct.
That is, I mean, that it's interesting. I mean, you had so much, you've had so much learning, as they say in Georgia, because all that time at Second City, I mean, that just teaches you how to work and how to be funny. And then all that time on Conan and all those different situations. I mean, you were kind of set up for whatever was next, I guess.
Absolutely. I really learned a lot along the way, and I met some great people who helped me.
And how did you get on 30 Rock?
Actually, that goes back to Tina Fey. When I was in Chicago, I was studying sketch and improv at the Second City, at the Improv Olympic, some great institutions there. Tina Fey happened to be a member of both of those during those days. And then she went off to New York to do Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. And eventually, I made my way to New York. And then when it came time for her to develop 30 Rock, I think she had me in mind for the role of Kenneth.
So she sort of had remembered the whole thing from before and thought this guy would be perfect for that role?
Well, yes. And, of course, we had been in touch since. Her husband, Jeff Richman, was my director at both Second City and Improv Olympic. And when I first moved to New York, he was directing a play that I was a part of. So we were always in touch.
Was Kenneth the Page just a dream gig?
Yes. It was fantastic. And, I mean, it was my first experience with a television series. So I was prepared for it to go away immediately.
Sure. Like they do, usually, sort of as an actor.
As an actor. I mean, that's sort of what you expect.
Absolutely. And so it was such a treat to see it continue and to see the writers and what they'd offer up to me every week. Just, you know, when we'd get the script, it was always like, what you got? Oh, my gosh, I can't believe you get to do this.
I can't even imagine anyone else doing that role.
You know, I mean, a lot of people auditioned for it, and I did audition for it, too. I mean, I had to, but, yeah, I loved it.
You were perfect.
It was great. It was really good. Okay.
And it was also one of those shows that just had, you couldn't believe that many talented people were on one show. And as an actor, to be able to do scenes opposite Miss Grichowski or yes. Mr. Baldwin or whatever, I mean, it just must have been so much fun for you.
Plus all the guest stars. Like, I tell you what, it was so crazy watching Julianne Moore win that Oscar, and I was like, I used to yell at her on TV.
How many people can say that? I used to yell at her on TV.
Did you ever get starstruck by anybody who stopped by the show? Because you had such famous people and politicians and sports heroes and just everybody through
every
those doors.
Every single day. It was somebody new. It's interesting with the Jack and Triumph show. Sometimes we'll get such obscure guest stars. I'm like, oh boy, let me Google this.
How dare you speak that way about Michael Winslow?
No, he's
an American institution.
No, he is. We were lucky to get him.
First episode of the Jack and Triumph show, by the way, which aired this past Friday night, I want to say, on Adult Swim. I was so surprised how many people you had on this show that you never would have expected, like William Shatner and Hulk Hogan and people like that. Tell me about filming. Well, I guess we should take a break and come back and talk more with Jack McBrayer about this. But basically, you and Triumph, I mean, you basically just... What did you go to, like New York Comic Con and just ambush them, right?
Yes, sir.
That doesn't sound comfortable.
It is a learning experience.
That's what Triumph does.
That's right.
Yes. You don't want to get Hulk Hogan mad. That's what I'm saying. The Jack and Triumph show with Jack McBrayer airs Friday nights at 11:30 on Adult Swim. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Jack McBrayer in studio with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He, along with Triumph, the insult comic dog, have a show called Jack and Triumph Show, and it airs Friday nights at 11:30 on Adult Swim. By the way, I was surprised, Jack, for Adult Swim, how long your show is. Half an hour is a long-ass show on that network.
That is true. They're trying some new stuff. We're half hour. We're multi-camera, which means we have a live studio audience. So it's kind of throwback a little bit.
It reminds
a lot of people of like ALF or something.
I was so surprised that it's in front of a live studio audience.
Hold it. He just brought back an ALF reference.
But that makes sense when you think about what Triumph is, because it's a puppeteer in front of a live audience. And I would imagine the blocking alone would make that show different to shoot than anything else you've ever done.
Bananas. I mean, because half the time, Robert Smigel, who voices Triumph, is like hiding behind a fake sofa and this kind of thing. But because I have to have conversations with this puppet dog, I'm sitting there like straddling this you know, gentleman. Unlike other day.
Tuesday.
No, when you got hooked up with this show, did you think, you already knew him, of course, but did you think this is a series that I want to be a part of, or did it scare you a little bit? Because he's pretty acerbic. Is that the right word?
True. Yes, I see what you're saying, but I knew from our previous work together at the Wiener Circle, like, oh, okay, so... I keep forgetting, that sounds weird.
Oh, that's fine, that's good. I like it.
Is that it was an interesting dynamic. I mean, it's kind of the quintessential odd couple in a way. Mm-hmm. And just the storylines that they've been pitching and the things that we filmed already, it really does just feed into that, you know, crazy dynamic.
Plus, he loves you. His character loves your character. So it's not like you're on the receiving end of his vitriol.
Absolutely. And that was something we discovered when we went to the hot dog stand in Chicago.
Come on. It's the Wiener
Circle.
It hasn't changed.
That was the first time that we had really seen Triumph kind of be a hero, or, you know, use his power of insults for good.
Well, Robert Smigel is obviously very funny.
Yes,
I mean, it's crazy the stuff that he comes up with, and it's rare in show. Look, lots of people smack talk celebrities. Very few of them do it 1 foot from their face.
Exactly.
That's what's beautiful about Triumph.
It's crazy.
Let's talk about New York Comic Con. Tell me how, and people who saw last week's episode know what I'm talking about. You guys are on the floor of the Comic Con, and you're just going around to all the tables where people are there to sign up for their autographs. Tell me about that day for you, Jack.
Well, it was chaotic. It's a very long day with, you know, so many people. I think what I'm learning is that I need to figure out how to find peace within a crowd. So
yeah.
I don't know.
That can be
I'm
difficult with that kind of crowd.
Absolutely.
That's a packed crowd.
Was it guerrilla filmmaking, or did they know you were coming?
We had permission to be there, but then I think specific booths had opinions of whether they wanted us to talk to them or not. And of course, everyone who we do talk to is game and they're a good sport. And of course, you have to sign a waiver. So if you absolutely don't want to be a part of it, then that will be made done.
Was it sort of difficult?
I'm sorry, what?
That will be made done.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify. That's out there for the record.
Was it difficult with you being as well-known as you are, and same for Triumph, did you have fans that kind of got in the way of you trying to film?
Oh, I've never had fans. So.
How dare you.
No, I think when people see that, oh, there's that puppet dog, then they know something is being filmed. And so it's not like people would ruin takes by saying, Kenneth, or anything like that.
Right.
They would either talk to the puppet dog or they wouldn't.
If they're talking to a puppet dog. I mean, you got them right there. They're not really paying attention to anything else.
Exactly.
I would guess.
When Triumph starts talking about how a relative of his is on William Shatner's head, you just go, oh, my God, please tell me he didn't hear that.
It is bananas. We do have a couple writers who join us whenever we do one of those remotes, those live pieces. And so we've just got, like, stacks and stacks and stacks of potential jokes. And, you know, it depends on – so much of it is just on the fly because it depends on who you bump into or what most people are dressed as or whatever the occasion can be. But there's a lot of preparation but even a lot of flexibility for the unexpected stuff that happens.
Well, it's certainly unlike anything else. I mean, that's what Adult Swim is famous for, is they put on shows that no one else would put on. I mean,
that's true.
And so this is a great home for you.
They're batting 1,000 for me. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, everything Adult Swim has is great.
It's good stuff.
Well, you used to have to do drugs in order to be able to see things like that. Now you don't have to. You just have to turn on the right channel at the right time.
Just subscribe to Adult Swim.
A lot of our listeners might not know the name June Squibb. But she is an actress who's been around forever, was Oscar nominated, what, for Nebraska?
For Nebraska, right?
Yes, she played Lena Dunham's grandma on Girls last season as well. She's a phenomenal actress, but not an immediate first choice that you picture on a dog puppet show. How did that happen, Jack?
She lost a bit.
Yeah.
No, we were thrilled to get her. Nebraska had just come out, and so we just were like, wonder, could we get her? We thought she might be a very good foil for Triumph because she could give back to Triumph as much as he was dishing, and then I could just be torn in the middle there. And so we went and we had a meeting with her at a diner, and we talked to her and tried to sell her on it. And we were like, there's no way in the world this is going to work. And she did, and it was great.
I have a clip. This is when Triumph comes home and you want to take Triumph up to your room, and Michael Winslow is in the house.
He's the Police Academy sound effects guy.
That's right.
He can do everything. And this sort of gives you an idea of the character that your mom is and the character that Triumph the insult dog is as you're going upstairs.
June, can I take Triumph upstairs to show him something?
Oh, sure, Jack.
It'll get time for me and June to get acquainted.
What up, girl?
Listen, no monkey business, Winslow. This state has very tough necrophilia laws.
Jack, leave your door open. I want to be able to hear everything that dog's telling you.
Great. So I can hear Michael beatbox into that echo chamber you call a vagina?
So that, that's the kind of thing that goes on Adult Swim, which is why I love it.
There you go. It is wrong on every level. The Jack and Triumph Show, Friday nights at 11:30 on Adult Swim. Jack McBrayer, so nice to meet you, man. Thanks for coming in.
Thank y'all.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:52.
Actress Maren Dungey joins us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. She is on Once Upon a Time this Sunday night.
Sure.
I can't believe we've never met her. We've been fans of hers for so long.
Oh, there's a reason why.
Really?
We'll get into it when we have her in. We'll
did you advise her to stay away? What's going on?
No.
Did we do something bad?
No, she's been a fan of the show for years and years and years.
But did we embarrass her?
And, of course, we fell in love with her back in the day on Alias when she
played
Alias
days, right?
Scene.
Right.
Jennifer Garner's character, Sydney's roommate. And I said to her at the time, we had everybody on the show. We had JJ on a ton because we were always talking about it. Even Jennifer Garner stopped by.
Victor Garber was on.
We had Cooper, I think, back in the day.
Yep, sure did.
Kevin Weissman, I think, was on. Mm-hmm. And so there was a reason why she wasn't on the show. And we can talk about it, I think, when we talk to her in the interview.
Is there something bad that Bean did?
No.
Okay.
Why are you assuming it's me? I know that would be the go-to.
It's a pretty good guess.
That would be the go-to. And trust me, that's where my first instinct would be as well. But no, I think you'll be surprised. And maybe we'll have a chance to remedy. Maybe this will be a make-good.
Oh, good.
Can I just apologize now?
It's not you. I promise you, it's no one in this room.
Okay. All right.
Maren will join us right after the top of the hour. First, though, Rob is here with the show. Be down on a Friday. What's going on?
I've piqued your interest now, haven't I?
Yeah.
J.K. Simmons is just the best guy, unless you're a drummer.
Yeah, you don't want to be a drummer.
Not so, not
he
so
sure
nice
screams at you a lot if you're a drummer.
He does.
He's a yeller.
I'm just a huge fan. Interesting story in the trades today about how the fact that he was recently seen at a Paquito Mas there in the Valley, and there were three Los Angeles police officers that were having their lunch, and he came in and picked up their tab for them to pay for their lunch.
And stole their car.
And then he stole their car. I said...
Good news, bad news.
I was in a restaurant yesterday with my wife and daughter, and there were some cops having lunch there. And I thought about doing that. I said, maybe I should do it. And then I thought, no, that would be... You can do it if you're J.K. Simmons, I guess. But I was thinking about doing it. I said, well, then, I don't know, is that a bribe or something? Did they not like when you do that? I started overthinking it, and then I just
I'm guessing they'd be happy with you,
I froze up, and I didn't do it. I don't know, but they think I'm trying to get something out of it or anything. I felt weird all of a sudden about it.
And then,
I read this story.
Of something.
Right, yeah. Then they search my car because they think I'm overcompensating.
This is so weird.
And they find the body. Then what do I do? Then I'm screaming, but I bought your lunch, and they're putting cuffs on me.
But as we learned when you met Marilyn Manson, you look like a cop anyway.
Right, they
so
think
they
I'm
probably
one of theirs.
Just thought it was professional courtesy.
Yeah. But then I read this today, and I was like, oh, I should have did that yesterday.
Yeah. Had your chance.
I should have did that yesterday.
I did myself. I'm a drummer. So, and I've been lucky to have been exposed to a bunch of different types of music. My dad grew up listening to jazz.
Not talking about your buds.
He loves all sorts of stuff. I'm not closed-minded. But
what?
That aside, let me see what else we could talk about here.
Let's not.
How did Muggs take over our conversation?
Well, he heard drummer, and he just all of a sudden got excited.
Oh, I see. I got you.
That just happens.
Maren bought in cupcakes, by the way, and Beer Mug's very excited.
Are there any left?
Nope.
Seriously?
They're big, honking, beautiful. They were big, honking, beautiful cupcakes.
We need to keep them away from the food, though.
Gone. All gone.
Come on.
Katy Perry is alternately upsetting and pleasing some people this week. She was tweeting about her visit to Auschwitz this week during her world tour. Auschwitz, of course, is the Nazi death camp in southern Poland. 1.1 million Jewish prisoners were murdered there. It's a brutal reminder of that atrocity. And she tweeted, "My heart is heavy today. Forever let this place be a cry of despair and a warning to humanity." And some people are saying, "Thank you for reminding people of the atrocities of the Holocaust." And some people are accusing her of trying to make it a publicity thing about her somehow. By tweeting her location out and the fact that she visited that event, she's somehow trying to make it about her and trying to make it a publicity thing.
That is such a sacred site that is so upsetting and troubling to people that you almost can't say anything about it without somebody taking it the wrong way, it seems like, or misinterpreting whatever it is you mean.
It didn't sound, from what you read, like she...
Didn't
she,
sound self-serving.
No, it sounded completely appropriate
but
to me.
But some are saying by the fact that she did it, that she used Auschwitz in some way as some sort of self-promoting and aggrandizing thing of her being there somehow.
That's people who are trying to be offended.
I think so, because I don't think she was trying to do anything disrespectful or self-serving at all with that.
This isn't like that college student last year who took that selfie at Auschwitz. It's not like that.
Right, and it's also not like Justin Bieber going to the Anne Frank house and saying, if she was alive today, she'd be a Belieber.
Yeah, that was the worst.
That's the worst, right?
That's the worst possible, yeah. She'd be a Belieber.
Anne Frank would be a Belieber.
She would not.
She would not. You're absolutely right, Alan McKay. She would not. And she wouldn't like Taylor Swift either.
That's
I'll
true.
Tell you that much.
Hey, very true. Let's bring peace with Linda Viss.
She would hide in the attic from Taylor Swift. That's what she'd
dare
do.
You.
Kate off Swift. Paris Hilton has
guilty.
She's not charged with anything. She has an admirer so dedicated, so serious, so devoted to her that he weaseled his way onto her property last Sunday to give her a classic Cadillac. There's a guy named Johnny, but apparently he has a history of stalking her, and so the police were called, and he was taken away, and the car was left on the street for two long days until someone broke out all the windows. Which breaks my heart, because it's a nice car. It's like a cherry classic Cadillac.
You might be missing the point of the story.
You think? This is the same guy who once flew a plane with a banner asking for a date with Paris over the family's compound.
Are we still talking about Paris Hilton?
That's what I'm saying. How could this guy be that interested in Paris Hilton? What is this? 1995? Who loves Paris Hilton that much? She wants to give her a Cadillac and fly planes over her.
I can't imagine.
I was stunned to find that out. Give me a Cadillac. I'll date you. Johnny?
Ralph will put out for a caddy.
I bet if you're famous enough, Ralph, I bet that your whole life, there'll always be at least one person out there who's still you're their thing.
Who wants to...
You know what I mean?
Duct tape you up in the back of the van?
I mean, like, you're Donny Osmond, and of course you're not what you were in the 70s, but somewhere out there, there are ladies for whom Donny Osmond is still their number one. You know?
I suppose.
I'm looking at you, Utah.
That's right, Utah.
The whole state.
Give me two. Today's celebrity birthdays, Donald Logue. He's on Gotham. He's great on that show. 49 years old today. Rosanda Chili Thomas of TLC is 44 years old. Singer Josh Groban turns 34. Actress Katie Mara, she is 32, soon to be seen as the Invisible Girl in the new Fantastic Four reboot. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Do we need to have Dr. Phil come in and mediate this? Everybody going to get along?
Well,
everybody going to be cool?
Who knew we had such a history with the lovely Maren Dungey? Who knew?
Maren Dungey is here, ladies and gentlemen, appearing this Sunday night on Once Upon a Time on ABC. We will be talking about that. But first, Ralph, you got us scared because you set us up with, we owe an apology or something. What's going on?
Well, I was just saying when we first met in the office that I was surprised that it had been the first time the Maren was in, because back in the day when Alias was on the air, do you remember what insane Alias fans were?
All over it. Yeah.
And we had JJ in all the time.
We had everyone in that was on the show.
We had Jennifer in. We had
all
Victor,
the people we liked.
Victor Garber we had in. We had Kevin in. Yeah. We had almost the entire cast. And I said, it was odd that we never had you in. That's so strange. And then Maren told me why.
Lightning.
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 Lightning. Lightning was our producer.
Our producer at the time.
At the time. And I had a full-blown, official publicist, did lots of premieres, went to different places, InStyle Party, blah, blah, blah. Couldn't get on K-Roll. I said, the one thing I want to do, I have been a fan of your show since UCLA. I was a UCLA student. And, since the beginning, the 90s, I've been with you.
Okay, so you knew we were totally into Alias.
Totally.
And totally having everybody on the show.
100%. And I said, I just want to do K-Rock. And my publicist kept saying that Lightning was not
keeps turning
her
down.
Why?
But why? What was the reason given?
I don't. Maybe I have no idea.
We had, the sound guy on.
We did. The boom guys.
Craft services came by.
It was racist.
Remember the two-part interview, Ralph, we did with the guy who came up with the font for the word Alias?
Right.
We had him in.
Everybody, yeah. I think.
That must have made you feel terrible.
It did. Well, also, when you said you wanted my character to die at the end of season one.
Well, your character is different. Your character is not you.
Right. And then the worm turned and I got better and it was more exciting.
Yes, you had a lot to do.
I was an evil twin.
I know, it was the best.
That's right. You were an evil twin.
I was an evil twin. I did.
Awesome.
I
should have had one of them on.
Exactly.
Thank you, Allie.
You're welcome.
And welcome.
Thank you.
Appreciate Enjoy
that.
A cupcake and don't faint.
Okay, and first of all, can I just say, you walked in, you smell delicious,
which
is lovely because these
boys
stink.
I thought that was the cupcake.
No, but the joy, the unbridled joy meeting Kevin was so disturbing.
Weird. It's a little,
No one
has
beautiful.
That much joy meeting Kevin.
I automatically distrust people who are that excited to meet me. I'm like,
scared.
Oh, what's going on? You played a prank on me right now?
No, you were.
I was a little afraid.
You were. I'm a little bit of a Kevin and Bean stalker. I listen almost every day when I don't have to listen to Frozen in the car.
It is so awesome because Mary and I have been Twitter fans, friends back and forth. We've been tweeting each other.
Right.
And I saw the commercial for this Sunday's spring premiere, I guess they're calling it, of Once. And your character is being introduced along with Cruella De Vil and all the other baddies from Disney. And I saw that spot and I thought, we should have Maren to talk about this. And then we, just by sheer luck, started tweeting over the week.
We were tweeting back and forth, just because you were doing funny bits.
And I asked you to come on, and then it was weird because it was radio silence. I didn't hear back from you. I thought maybe I had offended you or something. I didn't know what was going on.
Well, Ralph, I can't tweet you from Pilates.
Wait a minute.
I can't tweet you from Pilates. From Pilates.
Oh, what a shame. We're going to have to ask you to leave now. This is so much fun.
Put me in the vault. Put me in the file.
Oh, my God. Oh, that didn't just happen.
It did. Yeah. It did. Yeah. It did. See?
That's not okay.
Last night, Mary's like, I've got a great idea for a Bugatti.
Hey, is somebody trying to get Lightning on the phone?
I think he's on a conference call. We'll talk to him.
Anything to avoid meeting me.
He's
apparently.
On a conference call. Air quotes.
He's locked himself in the bathroom.
So, Maren, we have so much we need to talk to you about because obviously we've got a lot of years to make up for where we didn't talk to you, apparently.
Thank you.
But how did you end up being an actress?
Wow. Oh, wow.
Is this something you wanted to do as a little kid, or did you fall into it, or you were just so darn pretty someone insisted you be in commercials, or what happened?
That's very sweet. No, you know, I really wanted to do it for a while when I was younger, but we just didn't, you know, I never took any acting classes or anything like that. And then I did this teen talk show when I was in high school. Like, it was just one of those things that I auditioned for. It was called Scratch. And, you know, it was just this little thing. And I think Lisa Ling later on did it because she's from that area. And so I started doing that. And then I got to UCLA, and you can't be a film major there until you're a junior. So I just went in under as an English major and then started auditioning for the theater things and kept getting cast.
Oh, that's strong.
And then I won their acting awards. I was their youngest person to ever win the acting awards at UCLA as a sophomore.
Wow.
And then they changed the rules because it's supposed to be for the graduating people. So
is that right?
Whoops, yeah.
So you'll have that record forever then. They'll never give it to anybody young again.
Well, unless there's like some like, you know, Doogie, you know, like Hauser kind of kid who's
graduating. Did you fall in love with it, or did you just do it because you realized it was something you were good at?
You know, kind of both. I mean, I've always been a huge fan of television and movies, and then it was something that I really realized that I'm good at. And I
did you second guess that when you were trying to get on the Kevin and Bean show in the 90s?
I did. I said, you know what? This might be a sign.
Yeah.
And perhaps I need a new career. Think what I'm doing.
So I can't get on that show.
I know.
What am I doing with my life?
I know. I couldn't feel worse. I literally wept openly.
Oh, that hurts.
We became aware of you on Alias, I think, but you were one of those actresses who worked all the time, it seems like. I mean, now that I'm looking at ER, Seinfeld, The West Wing, Friends, I mean, you were on a lot of really, really good shows, so you must have gotten a lot of encouragement along the way that you were doing something right.
Yeah, I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's what you kind of have to look for, because this career, I mean, you know, you're lucky if it's a long career, and, you know, better to, like, go long instead of like burn bright. Yeah. And I've just been very lucky. You know, I was telling Christine in the office, you know, there's been plenty of times like where I just couldn't get anything, or I have been fired or, you know, replaced or whatever. And you just have to like look for the signs that you're still on the right path, you know. And, you know, one of the things, like once my kids got both or, you know, started school, all of a sudden it was just like boom, 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 boom. It was like the universe was saying, hey, you know what? It really,
really
picked up.
We'll let you be a mom for a while and then you can get back to work.
Exactly, exactly. And then recently it's just like, I mean, I'm recurring.
Yeah, we see you all the time now. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, you're Terry Crews' wife on that show.
Terry Crews' wife. I play Dr. Hamburg on Chasing Life, which is on ABC Family. And then I, you know, got so lucky that they called and asked me to do Once Upon a Time and play Ursula. Like, you know, I mean,
was this an offer? Was it they call you and say,
it was an offer.
Oh, that's so nice, isn't it? When they just call and say, we want you for something.
When do I have to audition?
I have to say that Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Chasing Life, and Once Upon a Time were all offers.
What?
Wow.
Nice. They were all
offers. Why am I the only clapping? That's impressive. You're now on the Kevin and Bean show. And it is. Your career couldn't get any better.
I'm probably going to get hit in the car like on the way home because I've peaked. This is
now,
it.
Now, I'm going to sound either dumb or just a boy to ask this question, but I don't have any idea what the Queens of Darkness are.
Oh.
I don't know who Ursula is.
You don't know who Ursula? You've never seen The Little Mermaid?
Let me tell you a little something about my friend B.
I never have.
Yeah, this is
it's a weird thing. He won't watch any animated films.
Ever.
I can't explain it. I know it doesn't make any sense, and I totally get that people say the Toy Stories are great, and you know so many of the other movies are great. But I just, for whatever reason, they wig me out.
What about Family Guy? What about South Park? What about
I don't have as much problem with TV shows.
I forgot to mention he'll watch animated television until the cows come home.
But
literally,
animated
because
movies.
He has cows, and they do come
home.
Wow.
But this is on the spectrum for Bean, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So for some reason, movies are unacceptable.
So I never saw The Little Mermaid, but Ursula is she an evil queen?
She's a sea witch.
She's the big bad.
Yeah,
she's a sea witch.
Yeah, she's a sea witch. And then, well, they're calling us the Queens of Darkness for Once Upon a Time because it's Maleficent, Cruella de Vil, and Ursula. And we have been in the story. Robert Carlyle plays Mr. Gold, who's Rumpelstiltskin, and he is getting us together, getting the band back together so we can the villains can get their happy ending.
Right.
That's sort of the trajectory of the
Ursula live under the water in The Little Mermaid?
In The Little Mermaid, she does. But
how does that work with her walking and living on land in Once Upon a Time?
She's Asperger's.
Will you stop with the analyticals?
I just am trying to figure out how it works.
Well, you know, we take a lot of liberties. You know, she was purple and fat in the cartoon.
She's neither.
I am neither.
Half a mermaid body,
I think she
really
was a sister, though, you know, honestly.
Like, yeah, she had like an octopus body, right?
Yeah. But I do have tentacles in this. And that, you know, it's really interesting because when you're working, you don't have them on when you're wearing your, you know, they paint that stuff in, which is, I mean, what they do in the show, it looks like a movie.
The effects on your show are brilliant. Really,
and we'll
are.
Be in like a castle. We're not. Hello. Oh that. You know, can I? I'll call him back. I'll call him back. we'll be in a castle in the show, but we're not. We're like on a blue screen. Like it's what they do on the show is unbelievable.
Now, as an actor, though, is that harder? Is it? Can you use your imagination more freely in a situation like that, or is it better for you as an actress to have that world given to you? Would you rather work in a practical set, or would you rather work in front of a blue or green screen?
You know, it's been so much fun because you really can use your imagination, and there's lots of crazy creatures and things that you're imagining. You know, the guys who do the special effects who are unbelievable, they'll have it like it's a video game. It's like this, they'll show you what you're in.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
And
okay, you can imagine.
You go, and then they draw the lines. They're like, oh, no, you're going to fall off the cliff. Like, okay, now you're in the, yeah, all right, there you go. And
so you do have reference.
You do have reference. And like, there's this great, there's a trailer out right now on YouTube from this week's show, Darkness on the Edge of Town. And I'm fighting Maleficent. And on set, you know, I don't have tentacles, you know, but they put a rope between us so we could like sort of do a tug of war. And I had to learn how to like fling those. It's like a little bit of vagina work. You know, you had to like, I put that under my special skills.
I'm sorry, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I don't want to know where those tentacles are coming from. That's for sure.
You just said it's a little bit of vagina work.
It is. I did. Okay. I'm going to put it under the special skills on my resume.
Okay.
Her pelvis has to be moving.
My pelvis, I got to move that. Yeah. Because, you know, when you want to fight somebody, you think you want to put your dukes up, and they kept saying, put your hands down. That's not where your tentacles are.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Isn't that crazy?
They're from the vagina. Okay.
Or is that area?
That's what I meant.
Yeah, they don't come from.
Have you ever done anything remotely like this in terms of them adding to your character, to your scene after you've shot it?
No.
This is it, huh?
This is your avatar. This is my
avatar.
I mean, it looks unbelievable. Like, it's amazing. I mean,
you did plenty of stunt stuff in Alias. I remember you had some amazing fight scenes.
I trained for a year. It was the best thing. After season one, we're at the upfronts, and JJ comes up to me and he says, "Do you know how to fight?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Learn." And walked away. And I was like,
"You trained for a year."
I trained for a year with the sensei Benny the Jet. That was who Jennifer told me to go to.
Wow. And you thought to yourself, one day this guy's going to be doing a Star Wars movie, so I better say yes.
I know, right?
Exactly. All right, Maren Dungey is here. We'll take a quick break. Once Upon a Time airs this Sunday night at 8 on ABC. Lightning has been found.
Oh, yes.
He's got some splaining to do.
And he gets no cupcakes.
No cupcakes.
When we return right after this on K-Rock. Actress Maren Dungey, the nicest lady in the world, in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. You can see her as a recurring role on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. She's on Chasing Life. And, of course, she's on Once Upon a Time as one of the Queens of Darkness playing Ursula this Sunday night at 8 on ABC. Now, Maren came in. Ralph, why don't you recap for folks maybe who are just joining us, including former producer Lightning of the Kevin and Bean Show, what they've missed.
Maren and I have been pals on Twitter going back and forth now for a while, and we finally got her in. And when she first showed up, it was so nice to meet her in person, and I said to her, given our love for Alias back in the day, 10 years ago now, Maren's telling me, I'm surprised we haven't met before, because during the heat of the white hot heat of that show, we had J.J. Abrams on a ton to talk about the show. Jennifer Garner was on, Victor Garber was on, Kevin Weissman was on. I mean, we had almost the entire cast
on. We would take anybody that had anything to do with that show.
Yeah, he came on.
Yeah.
And I said, but you wouldn't do our show. And she looked at me in shock and said that she desperately wanted to do the show.
Because I've been a fan since college. Mm-hmm. And I was blocked by Lightning.
Lightning.
This Lightning.
Why did you do that to us?
So former producer Lightning, who was the producer at the time.
Why were you running interference against guests that we wanted to have on?
Let me just say this. I said to my publicist, and I had a real... I'm here today because of our friendship on Twitter. Like
that's
we were
true.
Just like, you were doing funny bits. I'm like, thanks for playing Making It. I wait for that song every year. Blah,
you
blah,
don't,
blah.
But go ahead.
I do. I was sad it wasn't a Kevin Bean party machine. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow.
I requested.
Flashback.
Anyway, so I had a real life publicist who like would get me. I was on Kimmel.
Yeah.
I was on Kilborn.
Okay.
You know, and I said, the one radio show I want to do is K-Rock. And she said, Lightning, it won't have it. What? We asked several times.
And no
she said,
way.
She used you. She spoke of you by name.
And can you give me your name?
Evelyn Karamanos.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, but here's my question. Because most of the time, don't you, as a producer, if we don't want somebody, don't you lie?
I mean, you don't say to them, we don't want you on.
No.
Right?
No,
you said,
no.
Look, there was a time or unavailability. Or
no, listen. Hey, so that didn't happen.
I like your impression, but Lightning's voice is way higher, Baron.
There's not no time.
I'll do this.
Her publicist told us that you would not allow it.
So here's the thing.
You wouldn't allow it.
That didn't
happen. What's the thing, Lightning?
That did not happen.
You are a liar.
Well, she wasn't on the show.
No. You sit on a throne of lies.
That's true.
I am saying, so I pitched all guests as great and as sucky as some of them were. Wow. You know, I would pitch all guests to Kevin and Bean.
Right.
And it was their decision.
You.
I never.
Throw you guys under the bus.
Wow.
Dude, I
Given
never.
Kevin Bean's sweet love of African American
exactly.
women.
Exactly. By the way, we weren't saying no.
There's no way Bean's saying no to African American woman.
That plus Alias, which we were obsessed with, there's no way.
Right.
There's no way.
We said no.
What if I told you I had a sweet ride, like a sweet car?
If you drove a truck, yeah.
If you lowered your car,
I
would have
picked you up. Yes, exactly.
All right. How can we fire Lightning from that producer job retroactively?
Well, I mean, he's not a producer anymore.
Yeah, he did leave.
That's why, I think that's why we fired him, wasn't it? We found that out.
I left because you guys wouldn't have her on the show. That's what happened here?
That's pretty strong.
All right, get out of here, Lightning. You disgust me.
No cupcake for you.
No cupcake for you.
BS.
Maybe one cup, but not the pretzel one. Not the special pretzel.
Seriously.
Well, nice to meet you.
You sick of me.
You have more bass in your voice than I thought.
Why, thank you.
He's growing up, our little Lightning.
He does keep yelling at us about insurance. I know that.
I'm sorry, but I'm glad you're here now.
Thank you. I accept your apology.
No thanks to you.
He's going to go outside and sob now.
We're shaking hands.
He's going to go, I can't believe she got through.
I'll take it.
Kind of molesting more than hugging.
Well, I was groping, yes. I'll see you guys.
All right, listen, Maren.
Yes, hi.
What do you want to do next that you haven't done? Because it seems like you're living the dream right now.
Here on the show?
I mean in show
business. Because I want to sing Don't Bogart that.
I mean, you can do that. You can do that if you want. You can stick around, sure. In show business, what's the dream gig for you?
Well, you know...
I mentioned J.J. Abrams, like, for instance.
Look, I'd love to work
with... Like, if that call comes, man?
Sweet J.J. He's the... I mean, talk about the nicest guy. Like, I just... And loves the people he works with. Like, treats his crew like gold.
Yeah.
Like gold. I mean, you're...
Grunberg's got pictures of him with a goose or something, right? There's some sort of blackmail thing going on there.
I don't know about this.
He works with Greg Grunberg all the time, just constantly.
Well, best friends.
I know, but there's something. There's a lot of people have friends, but no one's getting that much work out of friendship in this town.
You've got something on McFarlane.
He's blackmailing.
Let's be honest.
I am blackmailing McFarlane, though. That's how I know. Yeah.
I mean, you could have piloted the plane in Lost. It didn't have to be Greg.
Come on. Right. No, look. Give the drummer some. Thank you. Cowbell. I would actually love to do an action film. I mean, after doing what I did on Alias and even just doing the stuff that I did now with green screen and all that, I mean, that would be the next great thing, you know? I mean, you were talking all the superhero stuff this morning. I mean, let's get some chocolate. Let's get some black lady superhero action.
Let's get some chocolate heroes going.
Chocolate heroes. In fact, that's the new series.
I'm down with
chocolate heroes.
This year on ABC.
Avengers team. They're the chocolate heroes.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I think it's happening.
Best thing ever.
I think it just got greenlit. Oh my God.
Is there a female African American superhero, Ralph?
Sure. There's Storm, but she's sort of taken. Halle Berry sort of has.
Stupid Halle Berry.
Has her hooks into that one. But there's a few.
Are there any that Lightning will allow?
No. Lightning won't let Maren play an African-American superhero.
All right. So you want to – why don't you stick around for the last showbiz, if that's okay with you, Ralph?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I?
Sure.
And sing a little Don't Bogart with us.
Look, she did a Bugatti gag. I mean, she can do whatever she wants.
She's going to start filling in for you. How about that? Once Upon a Time returns this Sunday, the spring premiere, March 1st at 8 p.m. on ABC with our friend Maren Dungey on it as Ursula. So the showbiz beat is next, and Don't Bogart right after this on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
What's going on with these people?
A lot of things. A lot of problems.
Bean, are you all right? You feeling a little lightheaded? Are you going to faint tonight or today? You're good.
I think I'm okay.
Oh, that's good.
Honey, I'll send you a cupcake. There he goes.
Oh, he's down.
Sorry.
Oh.
hey, we sure are adding a lot of girls to the show this week. What the hell's going on?
Well, you can't go wrong with more women, I always say.
Yay.
That's true. Maren Dungey
is
here.
That's not what I heard, Ralph.
What?
Once Upon a Time, airing this Sunday night. She's. We've invited her to stick around until the end of the show because she wants to sing Don't Bogart with us, which we're very excited about. First, our time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
It is my sad duty to impart this tragic news because one of my TV heroes, Leonard Nimoy, who famously played Mr. Spock on Star Trek, has passed away. Legendary Mr. Spock. He was 83 years old. He had been battling pulmonary disease that he attributed to his years and years of smoking, although he said he gave up the habit 30 years ago. He was battling lung problems and was checked in to UCLA Medical Center last week for intense chest pains. Was eventually released, but apparently passed away at his home today. So,
super sad.
Super sad.
I mean, Spock's got to be one of the, I don't know, 10 or 20 greatest TV characters ever, right?
Yep, easily.
Got to be.
And as Kevin was mentioning when we found out off the air that this had happened, his work on Fringe was terrific.
Yeah, he was great.
He's always good in everything. Mission Impossible, the guy's had a long and storied career. But
Maren, do you ever get to meet Mr. Nimoy?
I never did, but I was a huge Star Trek fan, huge.
He worked with your boy JJ in the reboot when they did that first film, yeah. It's so funny that TMZ had the story here, and I'm just reading it verbatim. And they said, he famously played Dr. Spock. People still screwing that up. People still getting that wrong.
It's yeah, Dr. Spock years. Wrote the baby books. Mr. Right. Spock was the Star
it,
Trek guy.
People. Stop it.
Remember the Leonard Nimoy disaster on the Kevin Bean Show back
my
in the day?
God,
don't
I
bring that
all
up.
About
what
that.
Happened?
Don't bring that up.
We had on
Mr. Nimoy, right. And he was also a very accomplished photographer.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember
and painter.
That.
Painter. He had a lot of different interests.
Painter, yeah. Very talented guy. And he had a book out where he took photos of nudes. Right. It was all nude women.
You're gonna bring this up the day we announce he dies?
This is an important story. This is our tribute.
And some of the women were of an unconventional size for that kind of photograph in some people's eyes. And by some people, I mean Kevin. And here's him with Mr. Nimoy on the phone.
I didn't know if I would do her justice. I didn't want to make fun of her. I didn't want to ridicule her in any way. I wanted to do her justice and do a decent job.
Didn't know if you had a wide enough angle lens.
Oh, stop it, Kevin.
Oh, boy.
What was that?
Nothing. Sorry.
So, I think that might have been the last time Leonard Nimoy ever came on the show with
us. Mr. Spock was going to kick your ass.
In my defense, they were 400 pounds.
But that doesn't mean they still weren't interesting
all
subjects and great photographs.
But they were all.
And his very point was, I wanted to respect her humanity and not make fun of her and not judge her by her size, but photograph the beauty of within. And on the tail of that, you say, you don't have enough wide enough lens?
I mean, he wasn't shooting porn, you know. He was shooting art photos.
Yeah.
So lightning's not the only one driving people away.
No,
exactly.
Oh, no.
Exactly.
Wait,
right.
It's the whole team.
We all take turns.
Okay, sure.
We all take turns. I wouldn't have brought that up on the day that we announced he dies, but okay. That's
a
choice.
It's important to be honest.
Certainly a choice.
Nothing else.
To not like it would make them dickheads.
That's right. Hey, here's a surprise. Chelsea Handler's got her boobs out again on the internet. I don't know if you're interested or not, but apparently she's got a photo now that she's put up of her rubbing her cleavage in the face of Whitney Cummings celebrating her birthday. So that's the kind
she
of thing
is
you want.
Way into this Free the Nipple campaign, isn't
is that
she?
Why she's doing it?
Yes, she's one of the Free the Nipple girls.
I'm not sure, but we understand you have breasts, and let's all move on, shall we? Can I get my camera going? Can we take that up, Kevin? There we go. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Happy to help.
Empire. This thing's a phenomenon on Fox. It's just out of control. Every week, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Last week, the numbers were huge. This week, even bigger. 13.9 million people tuned into the most recent episode. It's up 7% from last week's high of the season.
That's a huge number for network TV these days. Maren, are you watching Empire?
I am TiVoing it because I haven't had time. I've been in Canada working on Once Upon a Time, but I am very excited to see it.
It's so good. Super good. Although Ralph's concern is that some of the acting is a little bit too low-key.
Yeah, I wish they wouldn't play it so low-key.
Turn it up a bit.
I wish I'm more exciting, more bombastic acting. That's what they need.
A little more chewing of the scenery for your taste.
I have built an empire. He is serious. Love that. And Mark McGrath is not dead. Everyone relax. The lead singer of Sugar Ray has not passed away.
Okay.
I don't know who was worried about it, but apparently there was an internet hoax where they said that he was shot and killed while filming an Adult Swim show called Hot Package. But apparently that was completely a hoax and an attempt to publicize the TV series.
Hot Package.
So Leonard Nimoy's gone, but Mark McGrath is still with us. There's no God. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Donald Logue is 49 years old. He is, of course, Harvey Bullock over there on Gotham on Fox. Boy, is he great on that show. Rosanda Chili Thomas of TLC is 44 years old. Bean, you were just saying they crowdsourced funding for a new album, right?
They sure did. They're making one final record, and they went to the fans, and they got $500,000 in a matter of a few hours.
That's amazing.
It's amazing how many TLC fans were still out there waiting for, you know, waiting for more Waterfalls or whatever they're going to come up with. But yeah, they're working on it now, put it out later this year.
Maybe they'll catch the Waterfall this time.
Maybe, finally.
Finally.
I have a clip if you want to hear some new TLC.
You've already got the new music? I'm surprised, Kevin, because they were just raising the money. I don't think, how can they even have recorded
anything?
Well,
they've been working in the background.
The background.
It's going to be great in the background.
All right, I'm looking forward to hearing that new TLC music.
This is new TLC.
Wow, that's a different sound for them.
Not the rivers and lakes we're used to.
That is a departure.
New direction.
I smell a Grammy.
Josh Groban's 34 years old today. You have any new Josh Groban music? No, I'm surprised. Well, maybe he might be working on a new album. And actress Katie Mara celebrates her 32nd birthday today. Oh. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, we're going to announce April Foolishness.
What?
By the way.
You just did, I think. Nice work, man.
Was I not allowed to say that? Monday morning, we're going to announce something huge. And now this.
Gets to sing along.
I can't believe it's a dream come true.
That is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Can I dream bigger?
You need better dreams.
Suck it, lightning.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Why? Have you ever? Why?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This is the worst summer ever.
Roll another one.
About beer and hot wings.
Just like the other one.
Here's Cal Worthington and his dog,
this
Spot.
Seems to be about to quit.
No, that's not true.
And I need another hit.
Kevin and Bean, you. You're not funny. You want to know funny? Walter Matthau. He's funny. Gorbachev. That's a funny guy.
Argue.
Roll, roll,
roll,
roll,
roll, roll, roll, roll.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
No.
Just like the other one.
How dare you?
This one seems to be about spent.
I agree with my love.
I don't have another cent.
It's a travesty of a mockery of a sham. A mockery of a travesty of two mockeries of a sham.
Don't bogart that joint.
What kind of sick would do that?
Just pass it around.
This is Santa Monica.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Just pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
Another great show.
Yep, another show.
Now I'm going to go get into the time machine tub. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to hop in the hot tub and go change my childhood. That was lame. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to hot tub in the hot... What? Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to jump in the hot tub and go change my childhood. Almost had it. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to jump in the hot tub and fix my childhood. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to jump in the hot tub and change my childhood.
Hey, why don't you make like a off and get out of here?
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Thank you, my lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.